Dentro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a dental discount savings plan annual membership. The dental discount savings plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Enjoy delicious Black Bear Diner food in the comfort of your own cave. Try one of our 9 new family meals to go, like the breakfast combo family meal loaded with eggs, thick-cut bacon, sausage links, and 4 huge house-baked biscuits. Or the chicken fried steak family meal for 4 with country gravy, cornbread muffins, and 2 large family sides. Starting at $19.99, our family meals to go feed 3 to 4, so try all 9. Order carry out or delivery at
Black Bear Diner.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
In ICUs in Georgia right now. The day-on-day death toll in Georgia is still below 100 last time I checked. Okay, but with all of that said, they are seeing a spike. But you know who's not seeing a spike and opened at the exact same time is Colorado. Right? Colorado is not seeing a spike. Colorado is down 41%, according to the New York Times, in average daily cases. So what the hell is going on? Right? We don't know what the hell is going on. The answer is probably that Colorado in the summertime is quite nice. And Georgia in the summertime is sweltering. And so people in Georgia are going indoors and they are hanging out in crowded places indoors with lots of air conditioning. That is the most likely scenario here. That is the probable rationale for why we are seeing all of this happening. Or at least it's a much better rationale than the reopening, because the reopening really does not in any way reflect the sort of delayed statistics that we are currently seeing. By the way, the actual statistic on daily new deaths in Georgia, not only well below 100, well below 100, like below 30 daily deaths in Georgia all of last week. I think yesterday it was 8. The day before that it was 23, according to Worldometers. And so this mass spike that you're seeing in cases is not correlated with mass deaths in Georgia. You're seeing increased deaths more so, not in Georgia, more so in Florida, more so in Texas, more so in California, where you're seeing over 100 daily deaths in places like that. So is it the reopening? According to the media, it is the reopening. Right? And this is where you see the mask absolutely coming off. So the New York Times round piece called, "The U.S. Surge is being driven largely by states that move to reopen early." And then they have a chart, and it shows places like Florida, Arizona, South Carolina, Texas, Georgia highlighted on this chart, right? Because those are all the places that reopened early. A few places that are not highlighted on the chart are places like California that has also seen a spike. In fact, a spike that is similarly sized to Georgia's, but they're not highlighted. Why aren't they highlighted? The reason they're not highlighted, because L.A. didn't really reopen. L.A. never reopened, right? California has not been reopened very long at all, and they are seeing a spike as big as Georgia's after a shorter period of time. So it doesn't help the narrative the media are trying to push that it's the evil Republican states that are causing all of this. And the way that you know how corrupt the media are on all of this is that the same chart from the New York Times highlights New York. So it shows Florida plus 1,393% in daily cases. In daily identified cases. Arizona up 858% in daily identified cases. By the way, largely in border areas. There is a serious issue with people who are coming across the border specifically to go to American hospitals because the infection rate in Mexico right now is extraordinarily high. And then it shows New York. New York down 52%. Well, what did they do right? What could New York have possibly done right? Okay, the actual answer, what did New York do right? Everyone died. That's the actual answer. Okay, the reason that it's incredible to watch the media retcon this whole thing in real time. It's unbelievable, actually. I mean, like, there was a tweet that was put out. Scott Gottlieb, who's been a guest on my Sunday special, he suggested the U.S. approach on COVID is a tale of two cities. Some states, like Connecticut, New York, Massachusetts, sought to crush the virus. Some, like Florida, Texas, and Arizona, sought the Swedish model and tried to manage spreads of the less vulnerable. Without a more uniform U.S. approach, it'll be hard for either strategy to work. Okay, from just that tweet, you would think that there were some states that attempted to crush the virus, and there were some states that sought to manage the spread, and they've ended up kind of roughly equivalent or something like that, right? Or even that the ones that are crushing the virus, they're crushing the virus, man. They've made it. They've crushed the virus. And what actually happened? The northeastern states, like New York, Massachusetts, Connecticut, New Jersey, the ones that went into full lockdown mode, everyone died. Okay, not because of the lockdowns, but because it was there early. They didn't know what to do with it. They were sending COVID patients back into nursing homes. Like half the patients who died in these cases were nursing home patients, basically, people who are in elderly or assisted living facilities. Hey, let me give you the actual stats on the quote-unquote crush the curve people versus the maintain the spread people. Because right now, remember, all focus in the United States is on Texas, Florida, Arizona, right? It's where all the focus is right now, all of it. Okay, it is not like there is some focus on New Jersey or New York, where, by the way, cases continue to crop up in New York. There's still 500 to 1,000 daily cases in New York that are happening every single day. And if you look at these states where there's still mass levels of death, just going to note, New York still ranks like number six on this chart. New Jersey had over 100 deaths yesterday. Is anyone talking about New Jersey? In order of deaths yesterday, it goes California number one. California had 137. No one's mentioning California. Florida number two. According to Worldometers, New Jersey is number three. So two of the top three are blue states, right? But you don't hear California and you don't hear New Jersey. New Jersey had over 100 deaths yesterday. Texas is number four behind New Jersey at 102. Arizona is number five at seven. Then New York at 32. Then Virginia, which is now blue at 32. Then Pennsylvania, which is now blue at 31, right? Then you've got Massachusetts, which is blue at 25. Okay, then you get down into Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina. Okay, so that list does not suggest that red versus blue is the deciding factor here, right? You're seeing it in red states and you're seeing it in blue states. You're seeing it in lockdown states and you're seeing it in non-lockdown states. What does this actually suggest? It suggests that when the virus goes around, it kills everybody who's vulnerable. And the only thing you can really do is protect the vulnerable. That's really what it suggests. And the less time you can spend in confined areas with people breathing from the same air conditioning facilities, the better off you are. That's all this suggests. I think that clarity here in what we don't know is actually quite useful. But the media are attempting to drive a narrative, and so the media are just being dishonest about all of this stuff, right? The suggestion that lockdowns are the key and that we should re-lockdown because lockdowns are the key is absolutely anti-data, Okay, there is not enough data to support this perspective. Let me give you the total deaths by state. Okay, total deaths by state. Because remember, we're told that some of these states, Texas, Florida, Arizona, you're doing it wrong. You opened up too early. Georgia, you did it. You opened up too early. New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Connecticut, you locked it down, guys. You were really solid on this stuff. Wait until you hear the differential in deaths in these states. Okay, because what that would suggest is kind of not. Here are the actual death statistics from each of these states. Because remember, the narrative of the media is that was the New York Times' headline. Not my headline, the New York Times' headline. Current spike being driven by states that reopen. It's the lockdowns that caused all of this. Right? The end of the lockdowns is what has caused all of this. Never mind the fact that the media were literally cheering on mass protests in the streets in state after state across the country among young people. And then, surprise, surprise, a bunch of young people ended up sick with COVID. Who could have predicted such a thing? Who could, except for everyone with half a working brain. But again, that stark divide the media are trying to draw between good blue states, good, excellent blue states, and bad, evil, anti-lockdown red states where they don't believe in science. Okay, let me give you the actual deaths per state, and then I'll give you the population adjusted deaths per million. Okay, deaths by state. New York, 32,343. They have a population of 19.5 million. New Jersey, 15,522. Total population of New Jersey, 8.9 million. Massachusetts, 8,268. Total population, 6.9 million. Connecticut, 4,348. Total population, 3.5 million. Okay, so some of those states you haven't even heard about, right? You've heard a lot about New York and New Jersey because those were the big headlines. Who knew that Massachusetts had over 8,000 deaths? 8,000, that's a lot of deaths, guys. Okay, who knew that Connecticut, which is a tiny postage stamp of a state, who knew that Connecticut, gorgeous state, but only 3.5 million people live there, had over 4,000 deaths? Who knew that? That's a big number for a very small state. Now, here by contrast are your evil, terrible, no good, very bad, anti-lockdown states. You ready? Texas, with a total population of 29 million, 10 million higher than New York, right? It has the population of New York and New Jersey combined. Does Texas has a bigger population than New York and New Jersey combined. Remember, New York and New Jersey have had a combined total of nearly, at this point, approaching 50,000 deaths in those two states. Texas, with a total population of 29 million, is at 3,046 deaths as of today. Florida, with a total population of 21.5 million, which is, again, 2 million higher than New York State, has about 4,000 deaths right now. Arizona, which has 7.3 million citizens, which is a population slightly larger than that of Massachusetts by about 400,000, has 2,000 deaths. Okay, so who crushed what curve now? Who's done, like, a great job? Here's a quick list of the deaths per million by those populations, okay? New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Connecticut in the one group, and then Texas, Florida, Arizona in the other group, right? Because we're now following the media's narrative. The media's narrative is that the second group is the evil group. The second group did it wrong. They didn't lock down long enough. And maybe we need to go back to lockdown because lockdown is the key, right? Okay, here are the deaths per million population by state. New York, 1,663. New Jersey, 1,748. Massachusetts, 1,200. Connecticut, 1,200. Texas, 105. Florida, 187. Arizona, 280. So in other words, the lockdown, lock it all down, we're going to crush the curve, flatten the curve states, have a death rate per million that is somewhere between 8 and 15 times as high as the evil, no good, very bad Texas, Florida, Arizona states. Okay, so maybe that's going to change. Maybe that'll change, right? We don't know. Maybe this is a time lag. Maybe the reality is that as the summer goes on, many more people will die in Texas, Florida, and Arizona. What is one thing you certainly cannot justify at this point? You cannot justify the argument that lockdowns themselves were the key to answering this question, because they clearly weren't in New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, and Connecticut. They clearly were not. A far more plausible theory is that the population was subjected to the virus at mass numbers, and a lot of people died. And now the R-naught has basically declined, because now there are not enough people to infect other people. Because once a significant percentage of your population's already had this thing, well, then you've reached some level of quasi-herd immunity. At least you've slowed the spread. There are two ways to slow the spread, right? One is to prevent people from getting the infection in the first place. The second is you take people off the board. Unfortunately, tragically, either many people died from this thing or they were infected and then they recovered, right? And now they can't pass the thing. But the media are so invested in the narrative that they are willing to sell you a basic lie. And that's incredible. That's incredible. And again, the basic lie is driven in pursuit of a broader agenda. And that broader agenda is we got to keep everything shut down. Everything has to be shut down. And if you mention that the schools, you might want to open them. If you suggest that companies should remain open, well, then you're the bad guy. Now, let's be real about this. At no point along this entire way is anyone in the media being honest with you that there is no alternative by which we all remain locked down until a vaccine is available. That is not an alternative. It is not a thing that is going to happen. It's not happening in Europe. France has already announced they're not going back into lockdown. If they start to have another uptick, they're not going back into lockdown, right? They're just going to move with mitigation. Canada has basically suggested the same thing. The idea that everybody's going to go back into lockdown until a non-existent vaccine that may never arrive properly is going to save us all from the deus ex machina stuff. Like, I wish, we all wish, right? But that doesn't have anything to do with reality. The reality is we're all going to have to learn how we live with this thing. And this brings up the question of schools, which we're going to get to in just a second. Okay, again, all of this tied into a broader narrative about the media's newfound honesty in their dishonesty. Right now, they're still claiming objectivity. At the same time, they are openly promoting particular points of view, and, like, openly, not hiding it anymore. Coming up, they're going to talk about media bias. Look at how the New York Times covers COVID. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If your idea of a big, bold summer is hanging out around the backyard barbecue, I've got a snack that will fit right in. Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds. Yep, it's a bold-flavored snack that's more craveable than potato chips and the perfect low-carb alternative to breadcrumbs in your favorite recipe. You gotta try the Korean Kimchi Barbecue, Spicy Dill, Pasilla Chili Cheese, and Blackberry Habanero Pork Rinds. This summer, start your own flavor adventure by downloading our coupon and finding new recipes at porkrinds.com. That's porkrinds.com.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
I was in the hospital with my son for 18 months. When he got injured, I knew I had to be strong. I just remember rushing into his room and giving him a big hug and letting him know I was there.
These veterans and families are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. We build specially adapted custom homes with features like wheelchair access and automatic door openers that allow them to focus on their recovery and family.
This house is freedom. It's hope. It's a new beginning.
Visit HFOTUSA.org.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So the media's narrative on a lot of this stuff is obviously driven by politics more than it is driven by data. The reality is that hospitals are indeed seeing an increased burden. We are not seeing the hospitals being overloaded. Even in New York, by the way, where it got really close to being overloaded, they were actually not overloaded with COVID, right? A lot of these facilities ended up going empty, the new facilities that were built. One Houston ER doctor said, you know, you need to stop making the comparison to New York, because this ain't New York. Right. We are seeing an uptick in cases and we are seeing an uptick in hospitalizations, but we have resources. This is not New York.
I think everybody's worried about, you know, the continued escalating cases and what happens then. But today we are full, but we are making new beds and we are pulling more people into work and staff those beds. So that's where we're at. It's certainly not as bad as it was in New York City. And my colleague there went through. It's horrifying what they went through. We are not at that point. That being said, everybody wants to prevent us from getting to that point. So we're also asking everyone to please stay at home if possible and wear a mask.
Okay. So again, the notion that we should be worried is correct. The notion that we are about to be overwhelmed New York style. And remember, the goal of flattening the curve for the 1 millionth time was never to prevent the spread. Okay, the goal of flattening the curve was to prevent the system from being overwhelmed. We are not seeing that right now. Okay, so this has also opened up a whole conversation about whether we should reopen the schools. Now, what the data suggests is that kids are not getting this. It is less deadly to kids under the age of 20, to young people, than the flu. Okay, we don't cancel school because of the flu. We don't. Like, on rare occasions, I have seen stories about schools being canceled because of the flu. That is a very, very rare circumstance. What people are really worried about are the teachers. Right? They're really worried that the teachers are going to come in and you got a 50-year-old math teacher gets infected with COVID and dies from one of the students. And that's a legit worry. But we have this bizarre situation where now everybody is staying at home, but kids are going out and playing with their friends. Many of them are going to summer camp. And then you basically have de facto school, right? You have de facto kids getting together with counselors, and then they come home and their parents are older. In other words, a lot of this doesn't make any sense. So President Trump has said, listen, we should open the schools. What we are seeing right now with vast numbers of kids, like literally 40% of kids apparently in Los Angeles never even did one Zoom session in school during the last school year. So when things shut down, they just were like, okay, well, I guess it's summer. And it was the middle of March, right? So the idea that we're going to have an entire another school year where people are going to school for 2 days a week, where four-year-olds are socially distancing and this kind of thing, like that is really not a possibility. And there have been some columnists in the New York Times who are not of the right saying, listen, what are you going to do for like single moms who have to work, right? They have to work. What's your plan here? Because you're basically suggesting that they have no childcare. Remember, school isn't just a place where kids learn. It is also a place where parents drop off their kids and then go to work. So what exactly happens here? So it seems like schooling is kind of vital. And it also seems like one of the only things we know about this disease is that it does not strike kids. Thank God, right? That it's one of the only things we know, which would suggest that maybe some creative solutions could be in the offing. So for example, why not have schools? My friend John Podhoretz on the Commentary Podcast magazine, which is definitely worth the subscription. You should go listen to it. John Podhoretz has made the suggestion. I think it's a smart suggestion. Why not have schools where kids go to school and you have 21-year-old out of college proctors, basically, and then the teacher zooms in? Why is it the teacher has to zoom into all their kids in their own homes? Why not let the kids go to school? Right. Then you have sort of the best of both worlds, and you have younger teachers who are there who are likely not going to be infected with this in a very serious way. Right. You have a bunch of, if you're 21 or 22, you're not dying from this thing on a statistical level. Some people will die. That's a real, real, real exception, statistically speaking. And why isn't that on the table? But the idea is if you even mention opening schools, it's because you don't care about the children. Well, but kids aren't dying from this. What the hell are you talking about? What you're really talking about is protecting the teachers. Okay, fair enough. But you don't shut down the schools to protect the teachers. Right. If the education is for the students, what you do is you make sure that the students can go to school and then you let the teachers Skype in. Right? Why is this off the table? So Trump mentions this and all hell breaks loose.
We have to open our schools. Open our schools. Stop this nonsense. We open our schools. Germany, Norway, so many countries right now. They're open. The schools are open and they're doing just fine. And they're opening in the fall. So we have to get our schools open. Denmark, Sweden, we have to get our schools open.
Okay, so people are saying, yeah, but all those places have this thing under control. And that's true. That's true. It makes things a lot easier when you don't have a large baseline of cases. Right? That's true. But it is also true that the rate of kids dying from this thing is the same across the world, right? And that is extraordinarily, extraordinarily low. So then you have Nancy Pelosi just demagoguing this thing. Right. Nancy Pelosi says, we don't want our children risking school. The kids aren't at risk. OK, they're the only subgroup of the population who are at lower risk for this thing than they are of the flu. But here is Nancy Pelosi. I mean, this is just lying with not even real statistics, with fake statistics.
Secretary of Education indicated that children should go to school. They have to take risks. Everybody takes risks. Take risks to ride a bicycle, to be an astronaut. There's risk. You have to take risk. No, we don't want our children to take risk to go to school. We're supposed to mitigate for any damage. We're supposed to keep them safe. So with stiff competition, that was one of the most ill-informed statements. Stiff competition, though, in this administration on this and other subjects.
Okay, that's absurd. Okay, the risk to kids from going to school from this thing is lower than the risk to the kids going to school with the flu out and about. Right. And so she's just lying about this sort of stuff. But this has become, again, the conventional wisdom is in the media. How dare we discuss going to school again? Like 2 weeks ago, again, half the left was like, kids need to go to school so parents can go to work. Because what do we do with all the single moms who need to work? And now it's like Nancy Pelosi's out there. The kids are at risk. The kids are not at risk. Like, that's the only thing we do know. We know very little about this virus. That is literally one of the only things we know. Okay, we're going to get into more of the media just stripping off the mask. It's incredible. It's incredible to watch in real time as the media just strips off the mask. Coming up. Let's talk about the media's misreporting on other topics, including race. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their lives. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM online and AM 1460. It's time. Businesses are starting to reopen, and we need to support our local economy. We would like to thank our sponsors that supported our station throughout this event. As we move forward, we'd like to remind our listeners to support local businesses and see them thrive again. You can make that happen by dining at your favorite restaurant and shopping at your favorite store. They have been there for us. Now it's time for us to be there for them. Shop local.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dacus.
California lawmakers created a new statute in 2018 preventing public employers from disparaging unions. The statute was designed to undercut the 2018 Supreme Court Janus decision, which gave public employees an opt-out right from paying any union dues. Now, seven elected officials in California are suing the California Public Employment Relations Board for violating their First Amendment rights of free speech. Well, Pacific Justice Institute will provide free legal help to any employees who, as a matter of conscience, seek to opt out from paying union dues.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
We are
Women of Vision.
Hi, I'm Haley Clandenning.
And I'm Maurice Brown.
Join us for the Women of Vision show Tuesday nights from 6 to 7.
Women of Vision is a movement, women empowering women, locally and globally. We connect female professionals and entrepreneurs and encourage women to collaborate and achieve their personal and professional goals.
With a spirit of integrity and excellence, we will motivate you to thrive, activating your unique abilities. Join us Tuesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR 96.5 FM.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is a second-generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. We are currently hiring for our award-winning team of caregivers. We are a home care agency who provide non-medical home care services for seniors in our community, like cooking, shopping, light housekeeping, and driving our clients to appointments. If you are a retiree, student, or mom and interested in flexible hours, we have 2 to 4 hour shifts with weekend and evenings available, as well as full-time opportunities. To apply, visit our website, readinghomehelpers.com, or drop off your resume at 2620 Larkspur Lane. Reading Home Helpers, proudly serving our community for 16 years, and I look forward to meeting you.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Local news coverage will often mention the race of the officer and the suspect. The national coverage is much more selective. While the evidence indicates that black officers are no less likely to shoot suspects than white officers, local news coverage of black officers shooting black suspects gets picked up by the national news in just 9% of cases. By contrast, 38% of the cases in which local news reported on a white officer shooting a black suspect get national coverage. Okay, so in other words, they're only covering the story when the story supports their broader narrative. And we've talked about this very often on the program. And by the way, we put in calls here at Daily Wire. We put in calls to places like the LA Times and the New York Times looking for what is your objective journalistic standard on when you mention race in a particular case. Right? Why is it that you won't mention race if a black person kills a white person, but if a white person kills a black person, you will 100% of the time mention the race? It's not just the stories that get picked up at the national level. It's how the races are mentioned when the stories are picked up at the national level as well. This is not a shock. This is what the media do. And then they call it objective news coverage. Now, the most obvious about this sort of stuff is Don Lemon. So Don Lemon still, bizarrely, claims that he's an objective news reporter, which is just, I mean, you have to be an insane person to believe this. You have to have been dropped on your head as a baby, not one time, but like repeatedly and from a great height and with force in order to believe this contention. So here is Don Lemon explaining on UpRocks that he is not a biased reporter. He's just speaking his truth, which is the definition of bias. Okay, once you say it's my truth and not the truth, then you are no longer an objective news reporter. You are an opinion person. And my truth is your subjective perception of the world. The truth is an objectively verifiable description of a situation. Here is Don Lemon conflating the two and then claiming that he's an objective news reporter.
My role as a journalist is to speak from my truth and from my lens and from where I come from. And I don't think those things are biases. I am a black man who grew up and who lives and survives and works in America. I have a certain perspective and a certain point of view, and I'm bringing that important part of the diverse culture of this company to the fore, and I should be. And so the people who don't want to hear that, who don't want to hear my truth, will say to you that I am biased. I'm not biased. This is my truth as a black man in America.
He's not biased, guys. He's not biased at all. This is just his truth, which is bias, the definition of bias. It's pretty incredible stuff, right? The media's masks, they're all coming off, and they don't even understand the masks are slipping, right? They keep going, why are we losing credibility? Because you keep promulgating narratives that are not true about the state of the United States because they are, quote-unquote, your truths. And politicians pick up on this, by the way, right? Politicians pick up on all of this, and then they run with it. Like, Bill de Blasio has picked up on this, and he's running with it. So people are getting shot, like, every single day in New York. They're seeing a vast uptick in the murder rate in New York City. Virtual, I believe last I checked, 100% of all people shot in New York City over the course of the last month are people of color. Nearly all of them are black. is not something Bill de Blasio will talk about. Instead, Bill de Blasio will simply say that it's time to paint giant murals that say Black Lives Matter in front of Trump Tower on Fifth Avenue. And what will the media cover? Will the media cover this stuff? No, the media won't cover the shootings, really. They'll cover it, but kind of tangentially. There's a headline yesterday, I believe it was from the AP, talking about it's puzzling why the shootings have increased. I think they used the word mysterious to describe why the shootings have increased. Get the Scooby van, guys. Who the hell knows? Get the mystery machine. We gotta get Shaggy on the case. Right, who could, rut-roll, who could figure it out? Why would there be more shootings when you're trying to defund the police, you idiots? And when you're focusing on painting giant yellow signs that say Black Lives Matter in front of Trump Tower, ooh, we showed Trump, orange man bad, problem solved. And so Bill de Blasio, here he was painting BLM in front of the Trump Tower. He said, this is an example of action we can take for Black Americans. Wow, America's a better place today because you painted some letters on a sidewalk. Boom, done, magical. Wow, the great irony is going to be, and the great horrible irony is going to be, when a person of color gets shot and dies on the logo that says Black Lives Matter outside Trump Tower, because that's what's going to happen in New York City eventually, right? I mean, that is the symbol of Bill de Blasio's mayoralty, is a giant strip painting that says Black Lives Matter, and then people of color dying on it after being shot in his city. Okay, because that's what's actually going on in his city. Here's Bill de Blasio talking about all the wonderful things he's done for black people, like putting paint on a sidewalk. I mean, like, great work there, commie Bill.
It was such an important message. The people of this city believe Black Lives Matter, and we wanted to send that message to our whole city, but to our whole nation. And it can't just be words, Wolf. It has to be actions. So we're taking resources from our police department and putting it into youth programs. We're acknowledging institutional racism and coming up with specific plans to tear it down. We need to take this transcendent moment and get the most out of it.
Oh, man. Transcendent moment. Paint some stuff. Let's paint peace murals. We've done it. Build a plot. Wow. Wow. I mean, he's really committed to this thing. It's incredible. Really, really great. And by the way, then Trump came out and he was like, this mural is stupid, and Black Lives Matter means more than just the slogan. The organization is really radical. And de Blasio is like, well, now I've trolled you. I've trolled you successfully. It's pure racism for Trump to oppose the mural. Okay, meanwhile, I'm just going to point out, 2 nights ago, 5 people in his city were shot and 1 person died. That was 2 nights ago. I don't know the updates from last night because the reporting hasn't come out yet. I'm sure more people were shot last night because that is the way that this is all working. Bill de Blasio, by the way, he also says that in the middle of a pandemic, he says he's not going to allow any large gatherings except for BLM gatherings. I'm not kidding. It's the thing he said. This is purely unconstitutional, by the way. You cannot do this. You cannot say only one type of protest is so important and so legit that they get to hold it. Right? That's not the way the First Amendment works in the United States. Here's Bill de Blasio, commie Bill, explaining.
Things here in the city can mean not just thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. It's just not time for that now.
What about protests if people want to march down Fifth Avenue? Are they going to be allowed to do so?
Look, Wolf, this is always an area of real sensitivity. If you're just talking about health, we would always say, hey, folks, you know, stay home if you can. But we understand at this moment in history, people are talking about the need for historic changes. I mean, today in New York City, you know, recognizing the power and the meaning of the message Black Lives Matter, which we did in front of Trump Tower today.
So basically, Blitzer asked him, so you're going to allow these protests? He's like, oh, maybe. Kinda. He just said no large gatherings. Shut down those Hasidic Jews with their praying. But Black Lives Matter gathering? Absolutely, guys. I mean, this is just such an important moment. It's such an important moment. By the way, this giant important moment has not prevented people from shooting each other en masse in his city. The New York Police Department is now begging cops to delay retiring. So cops are like, I'm not sticking around for this. Are you crazy? Why would I possibly stick around for this? I've got the city that will prosecute me for defending myself. I've got a city that will not allow me to do my work with local communities trying to protect innocent citizens. You think I'm sticking around for this bullcrap? According to a report by the New York Post, 503 cops in New York City have filed for retirement since May 25th. That was the day that George Floyd was killed. Okay, that is a 75% increase, a near doubling over the same period in 2019. The past week, 179 cops filed for retirement in 1 week, compared to 35 in 2019. A 411% increase. So the city is now begging people not to leave. So Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York, controls the NYPD. Bill de Blasio, what has he been relegated to? At the same time, people are shooting each other en masse in his city, and he's painting murals on the sidewalk. Here was Bill de Blasio's answer to how do you stop violence. He's begging people, please stop killing each other. I'm sure it's going to go great, Bill. I'm sure. Again, there are not enough slow claps on planet Earth to provide for this idiot, giant weirdo.
You can't just do it with police. You need community leaders, clergy, community organizations to come together. We're having a particular issue in Harlem, and we've gathered community leaders from all over Harlem who, in common cause this weekend, are going to be out there with the police, shoulder to shoulder, saying we're not going to allow this violence in our community. The second piece is to get our court system up and running. It's been at a very low speed. The criminal justice system in this state is not fully functioning, and that's creating a lot of problems. Even when police arrest someone, the consequences aren't there.
Oh, you mean like how your plan was to release everybody without bail? Like that plan? Where you're taking career criminals, arresting them, and just releasing them without bail because bail is racist or something? This guy. But the media continue to promulgate the narrative that Bill de Blasio is like a racial justice warrior while black people are getting shot en masse in his city. It's unbelievable. It truly is incredible. So, listen, politicians respond to incentive structures. The media have created an incentive structure. The media incentive structure is you repeat the narrative that we want you to repeat, and we will bless you. We will bless you top down. You will always receive our love. And if you cross us, we will break you on the wheel of fire. If you're Ron DeSantis or Greg Abbott, if you're Doug Ducey in Arizona, we'll break you on the wheel of fire. But if you're Bill de Blasio, you can basically let a virus like kill everyone in your city. And then the ones who are left, you can let them shoot each other. And everyone, and you know what? As long as you made a mural, everything's good. Everything's perfectly good. The media create the incentive structure, guys. And that's why it kind of matters when the media suck at their jobs, royally suck at their jobs. And by the way, continue to promote a cancel culture that expediently exempts those who are allied with it. You're only canceled, by the way, if you are not a member of the cancel culture. So if you are a member of the braying mob, you will never be canceled. Right? As long as you bray along with the mob for people's heads, you're fine. Perfect example, Joy Reid. Remember that time that Joy Reid had like a bunch of really, really bad old tweets? Remember? Then this is the game that we play online, is we find your bad old tweets. Capital B, capital O, capital T. Bad old tweets, trademark. Right? Then we find your bad old tweets, we resurface them. And then we come after your career. Well, probably a year ago, a bunch of bad old Joy Reid tweets surfaced. Like on race and on homosexuality. And they're pretty yucky. Right? And Joy Reid promptly claimed that she had been hacked retroactively. And Marty McFly got in his time machine and went back to 2006. And hacked into Joy Reid's blog page and put up all these old posts. Somehow the blogger, the mysterious one-armed blogger, was never found. Okay, so it turns out that obviously that doesn't exist. She wrote the stuff, but she's not canceled. Joy Reid's not. She now has a brand new show on MSNBC. Oh yeah. She has hosted the MSNBC weekend talk show AM Joy since 2016. She's going to move to the 7 p.m. hour on July 20th. Her show, The Readout, succeeds Hardball, and it says Chris Matthews. Which is sad. I mean, first of all, I do miss my Chris Matthews impersonation. You can just imagine him at home. Joy Reid, they threw me out for being a jerk. And put this lady on who has old tweets talking about homophobia? What the hell happened here? Well, the answer here is that Chris Matthews was out of step with the times. But Joy Reid is a full-fledged member of the Committee on Public Safety over at MSNBC. And she is willing to guillotine anyone who disagrees with the left, politically speaking. Ms. Reid's promotion, says the New York Times, is a significant programming move by Cesar Conde, the new chairman of NBC's news network. Black women, including Gayle King of CBS and Robin Roberts of ABC, hold leading roles in morning and daytime television, but none currently host a nightly evening show on a major network. The last to do so was Gwen Ifill, who co-anchored PBS NewsHour until shortly before her death in 2016. Evening and primetime news has been a universe of white men, really since I was growing up, said Ms. Reid. For somebody who grew up as a nerdy kid obsessed with news, watching Nightline and Meet the Press, the idea of being a part of that family has always just been kind of overwhelming. Well, you know, good for her, because now it turns out the cancel culture does not come after you if you are a member of the cancel culture. The New York Times buries down in this piece that Reid apologized for writing mocking claims that Charlie Crist, former Florida governor, was gay. But then there are additional posts where she opined that most straight people cringe at the sight of two men kissing, and a lot of heterosexuals, especially men, find the idea of homosexual sex to be gross, and she said Rachel Maddow held views at the most left-wing end of the political spectrum. She claimed the posts had been fabricated. She said, I genuinely do not believe I wrote those hateful things because they are completely alien to me. The person I am now is not the person I was then. Listen, you can apologize for stuff, right? I mean, that's okay, apologizing for stuff, but not in cancel culture, you can't, unless you're a member of the cancel culture, in which case, absolution is just one brutal beating of a third party around the corner. Right? If you want to absolve yourself, all you have to do is find somebody else to join in mobbing. right? If you don't want to be mobbed, all you have to do is point to that guy over there and then join the mob, pick up that pitchfork, and you are good to go. Coming up, the media are big participants in the cancel culture. So is AOC. We'll talk about it. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
Get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
While serving in Iraq, an IED took both my legs, but it didn't take my spirit.
As America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
I'm Greg Gadsden, Army veteran.
DAV helps veterans and their families get the benefits they've earned.
Today, I'm an entrepreneur, photographer, and public speaker.
With the right support, more veterans can reach victories, great and small.
My victory is just being the best that I can be.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
If your idea of a big, bold summer is hanging out around the backyard barbecue, I've got a snack that will fit right in. Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds. Yep, it's a bold-flavored snack that's more craveable than potato chips and the perfect low-carb alternative to breadcrumbs in your favorite recipe. You gotta try the Korean Kimchi Barbecue, Spicy Dill, Pasilla Chili Cheese, and Blackberry Habanero Pork Rinds. This summer, start your own flavor adventure by downloading our coupon and finding new recipes at porkrinds.com. That's porkrinds.com.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So, the cancel culture is not just being reported on by the media, it's being pushed by the media. AOC, by the way, now pushing the cancel culture pretty hard. What's amazing about AOC pushing the cancel culture is literally a year ago she was whining about how she was being canceled by the Democratic brass. And there are members of the Democratic Party who are like, maybe we shouldn't give money to AOC's committees when she is trying to primary sitting members of the Democratic Party. And she's like, this is mean, this is cruel. And now she's like, cancel culture doesn't even exist. So people who are actually canceled, like, don't get their thoughts published and amplified in major outlets. This has been a public service announcement. Okay, well, a lot of people who are canceled don't get their thoughts published and amplified in major outlets. In fact, I can think of somebody who's the editor of the New York Times op-ed page who just got fired for amplifying a message that the left didn't like in the New York Times op-ed page. Right? That editor got fired for that. She said, but it doesn't exist. She says, the term cancel culture comes from entitlement. As though the person complaining has the right to a large captive audience, and one is a victim if people choose to tune them out. Odds are you're not actually canceled. You're just being challenged, held accountable, or unliked. Oh, is that what the odds are? Is that what the odds are? Listen, nobody cares about being criticized more than AOC. Right? She claimed I was catcalling her when I suggested that she come on my Sunday special. Okay, this is a person who really, really does not like criticism in any way. And I get a lot of criticism. I don't care. I haven't been canceled. Except on college campuses where I was literally canceled from some college campuses, right? That's happened. But people criticizing me is not cancel culture. I've taken plenty of it. I'll take plenty more. And sometimes I deserve it. But this notion from people like AOC that cancel culture purely does not exist at a time when people are openly trying to cancel people and ruin their businesses and ruin their livelihoods is pretty incredible. She says, I have an entire TV network dedicated to stoking hatred of me. A white supremacist with a popular network show regularly distorts me in dangerous ways. And it's a normal part of my existence to get death threats from their audience. You don't see me complaining about cancel culture. Well, actually, again, you did like a year ago. She says, many of the people actually canceled are those long denied a fair hearing of their ideas to begin with. And this is where we get into. It's not cancel culture unless I agree with the people who are being canceled. Then it's canceled culture. So she says, Palestinian human rights advocates have been canceled. Really, have they? Because it seems like the entire editorial board of the New York Times routinely amplifies the ideas of so-called Palestinian human rights advocates. She says abolitionists have been canceled. Abolitionists have been canceled? I feel like it's a pretty thoroughgoing ideology in the United States if you want to abolish slavery. She says anti-capitalists have been canceled. No, they just canceled themselves because they couldn't actually engage in the business world. And she says anti-imperialists have been canceled. Really, anti-imperialists have been canceled. Are you serious now? She says not spicy contrarians who want to play devil's advocate with your basic rights in the New York Times. Okay, if somebody is, if they have their editorials run and then canceled, like pulled because their ideas are not appropriate in the New York Times, that is the definition of a cancellation. They were literally canceled. But apparently cancel culture is good with AOC. She just recharacterizes this. The playing with words is pretty incredible here. The left does it all the time. Cancel culture is no longer cancel culture. It's just accountability. Racism is no longer racism. Support of the system is racism. And the linguistic tricks the left plays on a routine basis are really quite awful. And the media go along with them. And by the way, the media loves this cancel culture stuff because it allows them to play Nightcrawler. Jake Gyllenhaal plays a sociopathic photographer who makes money by freelancing. He'll hear a call on the radio that there's been a car crash. He'll drive over there. He'll take pictures and sell it to the local news. And then he realizes, hey, wait a second. If I actually stage this stuff, I'm the first person on scene. Right. Well, that's the media when it comes to cancel culture. So the media will do things like a bad old tweet just resurfaced, guys. And it's like, well, how did it resurface? I stumbled on it while I was just searching the advanced search function on Twitter for specific people to cancel. And then what they do is they'll say, and you know what's even bigger news? I'm going to call up an advertiser on that person's show, and I'm going to ask them whether they approve of this. That's not news. And they've been doing this to Tucker Carlson for years. They've done this with me. They do this with everybody on the right. That's not news. That's activism. If what you're doing is literally indistinguishable from the sleeping giants or Media Matters of the world, then you're just sleeping giants or Media Matters, and that's fine. But just own it. But the media won't own it. So instead, you get articles like this one from the Washington Post about Goya Foods. So Goya Foods is a Latino-owned food company, which does enormous amounts of charitable work in Latin and South America, like enormous amounts of this stuff. Okay, but Goya Foods CEO Robert Yunanu committed a sin. He stood alongside President Trump. He said, we're all truly blessed at the same time to have a leader like President Trump, who's a builder. That's what my grandfather did. He came to this country to build, to grow, to prosper. So we have an incredible builder. We pray for our leadership, for our president. We pray for our country that we will continue to prosper and to grow. Terrible. Terrible. What was he there to do, by the way? He was there to mark Trump signing an executive order pledging to improve Hispanic Americans' access to educational and economic opportunities. Obviously a bad, bad man. Very bad. So AOC tweeted, oh, look, it's the sound of me Googling how to make your own adobo. Because now I'm not going to go to Goya anymore. Now Julian Castro urged Americans to, quote, think twice before buying Goya products. If the CEO praised Trump, it is time to remove support from this. And the media just run with it. The Washington Post has a long article about all of this. By the way, they employ thousands of people worldwide. In past interviews, members of the Yunanu family have credited the brand's authenticity for its popularity. But, says the Washington Post, maybe we should take a second look. We're just reporting, guys. We're just reporting. It is not worthy of a massive report on Goya Foods when a few losers on Twitter decide that they are going to boycott people that they don't like. Again, if you think the Goya is going under because the CEO praised President Trump, you're an idiot. But apparently it's news so long as the media make it news. This is the way the media push all this stuff. In the same way that the media pushed the boycotts of Facebook in order to get Facebook to lower its standards for what constitutes hate speech and therefore go after people that the media don't like and shut the doors of the media to other actors in the media. As I mentioned yesterday, New York Times spends tens of millions of dollars every year on Facebook marketing its own material, but they want to make sure that Facebook cuts down the popularity of people that they don't like. The media's malaction here continues to be the great story in the unraveling of America, because it turns out the people who are supposed to translate the experts to you are not translating. They're just telling you something different from what the experts say. It turns out the people who are supposed to bring you objective truth are giving you their truth. It turns out that the people who are supposed to be reporting on the news are instead part of the news and making the news. It turns out that that's what a lot of this is all about. And that's going to get better. That's going to get worse, not better, unfortunately. Again, this is not the only example. Again, there's a guy named Thomas Bosco, who owns the Indian Road Cafe in Manhattan. He voted for President Trump in 2016. And now there are a bunch of people who are trying to boycott him, and the media are covering it. Right? The New York Times is covering it. It's not worthy of a media coverage story when a few people tweet that they don't want to eat at the local eatery because the owner supported Trump. That's just the media trying to pick a message and then push the message. That's all that's happening here. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRostro. Some good news for Roger Stone. President Trump commuted his longtime political confidant's sentence.
The announcement comes before Stone was set to report to prison next week. Earlier Friday, an appeals court had denied a Stone request for an additional delay. Stone had been sentenced in February to 3 years and 4 months in prison for lying to Congress, witness tampering, and obstructing the House Russia collusion investigation of the 2016 election.
George Bonzani reports Democrats are denouncing the decision as an unprecedented intervention by the president. The COVID-19 pandemic sweeping through the leadership of Latin America, two more presidents and a powerful officials testing positive this week, adding a destabilizing new element to the region's public health and economic crises. In Turkey, a hugely symbolic UNESCO World Heritage Site in Istanbul has officially been converted back into a mosque and declared open for Muslim worship just hours after a high court annulled a 1934 decision that had made the religious landmark a museum. BBC correspondent Orla Guerin has our details.
Change is coming for Hagia Sophia, which has endured since the 6th century. It has now been placed under the control of Turkey's Religious Affairs Directorate and will open for Muslim prayers, probably next week, according to a government spokesman. While this will be a popular move with conservative religious supporters of Turkey's president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, it has been criticised by Turkey's most famous writer, the Nobel Prize winner Orhan Pamuk. He told the BBC that millions of secular Turks will be crying about the decision.
In a televised address to the nation, Erdogan said the first prayers inside Hagia Sophia would be held July 24th, and he urged respect for the decision. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Thinking about life insurance? Did you know in just a few minutes you can find the best price from up to 10 price competitive companies for free? You can with SelectQuote. For example, George is 39. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $22 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino, and believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-607-3551. That's 800-607-3551. 800-607-3551. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Whatever challenges the U.S. economy may face, inflation is not one of them. At least, not now.
Wholesale prices, as measured by the Producer Price Index, dropped 0.2% last month. Food prices fell sharply, offsetting a big increase in the cost of energy. Wholesale prices have fallen in 4 of the past 5 months.
Rich Thomason with that report. Navy shipbuilder Bath Iron Works filed a complaint with the National Labor Relations Board accusing its largest union of threatening workers who crossed the picket line during an ongoing strike in Maine. The company accused leaders of Machinists Local S6 of threatening so-called scabs with fines and loss of benefits and hinting at violence. Union leaders in a statement warned that anyone who chooses to cross the picket line will be fined after the strike is over, adding no man has a right to scab so long as there's a pool of water to drown his carcass in. More at townhall.com. Evangelicals oppose a federal rule on international students.
Leaders of several evangelical organizations are urging the Trump administration to rescind a policy requiring international students to leave the U.S. or transfer if their colleges hold classes entirely online this fall. In a letter to the acting Secretary of Homeland Security, the leaders say the administration's policy falls short of American ideals. Among the signatories are the presidents of the National Association of Evangelicals and the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention. Citing specific biblical passages, they say the policy lacks compassion and violates tenets of their faith. I'm Walter Ratliff.
The U.S. Roman Catholic Church used a special and unprecedented exemption from federal rules to amass at least $1.4 billion in taxpayer-backed coronavirus aid, with many millions going to dioceses that have paid huge settlements over because of clergy sex abuse cover-ups. More at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision. Thankfully, it appears that Coachmaster Repair is an essential business and fully prepared to repair any minor or major damage to your vehicle. With the invasion of the coronavirus, Coachmaster is taking all precautions for the safety of our employees and our customers. We have closed all traffic through our lobby to ensure proper social distancing and will be disinfecting your vehicle upon arrival and before delivery. With the effects and response from the virus, we feel fortunate to be able to maintain all of our employees. They will be here to provide all services required for a proper and complete repair. These are uncharted territories. Let's all work together for a full, safe, and prosperous recovery.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come. 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Addison's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with five types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AdamsonSpeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is a second-generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993 and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423 at Advanced Automotive.
Hi, I'm Congressman Doug LaMalfa. The coronavirus pandemic has caused our nation's blood supply to drop dangerously low. You can help end this shortage by giving blood. Giving blood is a safe, life-saving activity that's easy and painless. Trust me, I'm a 7-gallon donor myself. Visit lamalfa.house.gov/giveblood to find the blood donation center nearest you. Your donation could save a life. Paid for by official funds authorized by the United States House of Representatives.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned, expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater.
Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
It is, and I don't know where this goes because, you know, for so long we've heard that women are not treated well in Hollywood. Obviously, the whole Me Too movement was about how men dominate Hollywood and women don't have any power or any real sway. Jennifer Lawrence was complaining about this. I mean, everybody was complaining about this. And then it seems to have shifted on a dime back to giving all the power back to biological males. Are we not going to expect some kind of feminist response to this? I mean, where's Halle Berry's solidarity with the sisterhood?
Well, unfortunately, she just caved right away and started speaking as somebody who had been recently re-educated. She said, "I now understand my cisgender privilege." You see the eyes sort of glaze over when you start to hear that language. But yeah, it is really strange how there's not so much feminist backlash as you would expect. I also can't help but notice a double standard. In 2015, I think it was, Eddie Redmayne played the Danish girl, and he was not only able to play that role, that is the role of a transgender woman, he was nominated for an Oscar.
Right.
So there does seem to be a bit of a double standard here. Why is it actresses that can't play trans characters, but actors can?
One of the people who's in the culture, I think we spoke about her last time, was J.K. Rowling. And she gets a lot of flack from the woke intersectional left because she is not down with transgender ideology. She's more of an old school feminist. She wants to defend women's place in art and culture and politics. And J.K. Rowling just signed on to this letter. There were a lot of people, I think it was about 150 people signed on to it. It's being called The Letter in Harper's. And it was this letter of mostly liberal people. I mean, some even as far left as Noam Chomsky, saying that we need to stop canceling people. We need to stop removing them from the culture because they contradict whatever the leftist orthodoxy of the day happens to be. And first of all, a couple of people have already pulled out. They've retracted their signatures. I mean, it's getting a lot of attention because it's being viewed as a betrayal of the left. Where does it stand? Do you know, it seems to me that there are three groups here. There are the conservatives, and there are the woke crazy leftists, and then there are like five old school liberals in the middle trying to maintain some order and civil discussion. Is that a lost cause? Where do we stand on the kind of consensus that seems to have evaporated?
It is a lost cause insofar as the wokest of the woke are not actually interested in compromise. So even if you say, I'm happy to use the preferred pronouns that you wish, I'm happy to accommodate trans people insofar as it's reasonable, which I think most people, including conservatives, are fine to do that. You know, yeah. The key part of that sentence being insofar as it is reasonable, i.e. not sports teams. It doesn't matter because unless you're 100% with the agenda, then you will be cancelled. What was funny about that letter, though, Michael, was I read through it a couple of times and I was struck with how liberal the language and the terminology was. They had reference to equality, inclusion. There was lots of dunking on the radical right, all these things you would
do. There's a lot of dunking on Trump.
There's a lot of dumping on Trump, exactly. And yet this is not good enough. So this is, I think you just can't really compromise with these people. Mm. And so obviously in our particular career choices, we've just decided not to care and say what we like. And there's their freedom that comes with that. Although I don't think we're ever going to work for the New York Times. I hope. I hate to break it to you.
I hope we're never going to work for the New York Times. I'd be so ashamed if we were. I think you're right, though. I think there is this kind of balkanization happening. And there are or some people, I notice it, especially on like the center right, or there are people who really want to just get along and compromise and meet in the middle. And it just strikes me, especially on this transgender issue, there's no middle. What's the middle? Either a man can become a woman or a man cannot become a woman. And if a man can't become a woman, that has certain public policy implications, and men cannot be permitted to go into the girls' changing room and you know, go on from there. And if a man can become a woman, then that also has public policy implications, and that man has every right to go into the girls' changing room, and that man has every right to go into some sports team and win the track race, and that man has every right to take women's parts in Hollywood. Where can the compromise be?
Well, this is exactly right, and this is actually why you find that these old school liberals that you're describing are very much in an uncomfortable alignment, uncomfortable from their perspective, yeah, with conservatives like you and I, because really, we are actually seeing the same things. Now, I think perhaps you and I might be slightly more blunt about what we're seeing, but we are seeing the same thing, which is, no, I'm sorry, we really do have to draw the line somewhere. And typically, we draw the line at women and especially at children.
Yeah.
But this is never going to be enough. It's just, you know, you're just going to find yourself being cancelled. So that's the way it is.
Yes, there's no way to appease the mob. It reminds me of that old quote that, you know, you feed the crocodile hoping that he'll eat you last, but he will eat you eventually. It seems like everything's heating up into 2020. Maybe call me a crazy, wild conjecturer, but it seems to me that a lot of what we're seeing in this country and the riots and the statue toppling and the intensity of public debate might have something to do with this presidential election that we've got coming up in a few months. I remember in 2016 when this transgender issue came up, President Trump took a different tack than most of his fellow Republicans who were talking about the kind of philosophical basis of this, why from an anthropological perspective it's just not possible that men can be women, all this. Trump kind of dismissed it. They said, do you think, based on these North Carolina bathroom laws, do you think men should be able to use a women's room? And his answer was, I don't know, what were they doing before? What were they doing before this became a big issue? That seems like it's fine. I never heard of a problem. Let it go. Do you think he'll take a similar approach here? You know, he leaned away from that transgender issue in 2016. Do you think it will play a role in the election as the wokesters have gained so much ground? Or is the election going to be more about secure the border, build up the economy, you know, the more traditional issues that we've heard about?
Well, based on his rhetoric so far, he does invoke culture war themes and narratives quite a lot, which obviously does resonate with his base. And I think this is definitely one that's on the forefront of a lot of people's minds, especially as it relates to things like free speech. And obviously he made in his July 4th speech the fact that, like, it's un-American to not tolerate other viewpoints. So I think that very much does resonate with people. The thing that's interesting as well is that the Trump administration has been painted by the left-wing and liberal mainstream media as being very anti-trans. But actually, it's exactly what you just said, Michael. They are simply rolling back all of these things that Obama did when normally by covert means, where he didn't actually have permission to do it. So, for example, the Obama administration issued 2016 guidelines about what to do with schools and colleges with regard to bathrooms. And all that the Trump administration, Education Department and Department of Justice did was clarify that he can't do that. That has to go through Congress. That has to go through the normal channels of power. But it has been painted as this aggressively anti-trans administration, which it doesn't really hold to the facts.
Of course, because you have this aggressive attack on history from the left. So you kind of forget everything that happened more than 5 minutes ago. When we hear an issue such as, for instance, transgender people, you know, men who think they're women, serving in the military, nobody supported that until about, 2015, I think it was. And so now, if you reverse that decision from the late Obama administration, you're told that you're a tyrant, a monster. But this was the view that was held by everybody, including Barack Obama, including the most ardent leftists, until just 5 minutes ago. Do you think, looking at this presidential election, you've got a guy, Joe Biden, who's been in politics since 1776, actually. He didn't sign the Declaration of Independence, but he definitely was there at the time. Joe Biden has held much more moderate views on political issues until very recently. Is that going to come back and bite him, or does it not matter? Is it all just about this present moment, history and philosophy be damned?
Well, it depends entirely on like the demographic you're talking about, whether it matters or not. Because I think the people who are a lot of people who are voting for Biden are voting against Trump. You know, this comes out right. in voting enthusiasm polls all the time. It's very much they are voting against Trump. So long as Biden does not overnight turn into Trump, then I think that this symbol of evil that is President Trump will just be reason enough to endorse this. With Biden, though, what's really interesting is he has given his support to things like the Equality Act and so on and so forth, whereas he's been quite hesitant to give his support to Black Lives Matter, knowing that that's divisive. I think he's an older guy who doesn't actually realize how insane this particular issue is. I mean, very few people do until they really look into the fine print and say, whoa, you want to do what with women's rights? Women's shelters. You want to do what with children, gender confused children? Like, I think it's ignorance actually.
It's a fair point. You know, it sounds all nice. The Equality Act. Who could disagree with that? And Joe Biden has been an empty suit his entire career. He licks his finger, he puts it in the wind, and he tries to figure out which way it's blowing. There is kind of an irony though that we're canceling Halle Berry. We're not letting her play certain roles. Everything's about the most marginalized and oppressed groups, and the Democrats nominate the oldest, whitest guy in America. I mean, President Trump at least has a bit of that orange sheen, so perhaps he could claim some kind of minority status. But that's the way it goes, and I guess the way that that Joe Biden can make sense of that is he can just identify as somebody else. I think a lot of Democrats wish their nominee would identify as somebody else. Maddie, we've got to go. Thank you, as always, for being here, our de facto co-host here when I fill in on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go read Maddie's stuff over at National Review. Follow her on Twitter. Just read all her stuff. She's so great, Maddie. Thank you, as always.
Thanks for having me.
All right. We have got much more, but we have got to take a quick break. In the meantime, and if you're driving, don't crash your car. I don't want you to do that. But pull over. Go subscribe to the Michael Knowles Show podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, all over the place. You can find me on Twitter at Michael J. Knowles. And most importantly, do not touch that radio dial. We will be right back.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt? Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs you qualify for free. Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
We've always had villains to face.
Bad guys to take down.
But you? You are the most horrible of all.
We're not here because we have to be.
We're here because we've had enough of you.
We all have the power to do something.
To stand up to cancer.
Every single one of us is mortal.
But inside of us, we're all heroes.
So stand up with us. Stand up to fight.
Stand up to cancer. Visit standuptocancer.org to learn more.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. I'm Michael Knowles filling in. You can find me at the Michael Knowles Show podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, all over the place. You can find me on Twitter at Michael J. Knowles. But you can't find me in Oklahoma. The Supreme Court goes ahead and gives away half of Oklahoma. That actually happened. And what's so crazy about 2020 is that people aren't even really reacting to it. They say, oh, okay, well, par for the course. Let's see what happens next week. The Supreme Court decision that came down yesterday, McGirt versus Oklahoma, a 5-4 decision in which Neil Gorsuch stabbed us all in the back again, except for maybe Texans. I'm sure Texans are kind of happy about giving away Oklahoma. But the rest of us, kind of shocked, Neil Gorsuch sides with the four liberals on the court and agrees to return half of Oklahoma to a Native American tribe. How does this happen? What does this even mean? The case goes all the way back to 1996 when a man who is now 71 years old raped a 4-year-old girl. And it's even more graphic and lurid and despicable than that. I won't even get into it. But it comes down to a case of child rape where this man was convicted and sentenced to prison, and he's been in prison since then. But there was a suit. The man in question here questioned his conviction because he said that the state of Oklahoma did not have jurisdiction to charge him for that crime because of a Native American treaty with the federal government going back many, many decades, over a century, that says that the state of Oklahoma doesn't have that land. It's actually an Indian territory. So this works its way all the way up to the Supreme Court, and Judge Gorsuch, again, a Trump appointee, supposed to be a conservative, the successor to Antonin Scalia, argues that that land actually belongs to the Native Americans. So the left is cheering today. And specifically, the reason they're cheering is because a 71-year-old man just got off the hook for child rape. It's amazing. When you think of it in those terms, when you think of it in the actual nuts and bolts of the case, the left is thrilled because a child rapist doesn't have to be in prison anymore. And you have to wonder what the effect of this will be on the rest of the country. How many other Native American treaties were broken? How much of the rest of the country is on paper owed to some Native American tribe? How much more of the country are we going to lose? Just when you think we can't lose the country anymore, we're tearing down statues of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, our whole national history. We're protesting the American flag. Well, now we're giving away whole swaths of territory. It raises a question, which is, what are conservatives doing? If we are not even conserving the territorial integrity of the United States, what are we doing? You know, there were questions raised about Neil Gorsuch after the case a few weeks ago that redefined sex in the Civil Rights Act, in Title VII, and redefined sex to include gender identity, sexual orientation and gender identity. So sex no longer means are you a man or a woman. It means are you a man who thinks he's a woman or a woman who thinks he's a man. If we're going to radically redefine sex well beyond how the term would have been understood at the time of the passage of that law, what is originalist about that? What are we conserving there? I think that this is raising a lot of questions. And I think this is bad news for President Trump, not only because we just lost a part of the country, but also because it diminishes the importance of the judges come November. There's this bizarre phenomenon that happens on the right. You know, on the left, when they appoint their judges, the judges never disappoint them. When a Democratic president puts a judge on the Supreme Court, that Democratic president can rely on that judge to give them the decisions that they want. Not so on the right. Going back at least to Ronald Reagan, you get judges who go over to the left. And it actually goes back before Ronald Reagan. But you see Sandra Day O'Connor. You see David Souter. You see John Roberts has been doing this recently. And now you see Neil Gorsuch for Donald Trump. I think we need to rethink the conservative legal movement. Because there are lots of debates that we have in this country over what is a conservative? Does it mean you want low taxes? Does it mean you want small government? Does it mean you want to keep traditional values? Does it mean you want to support the traditional family? Does it mean you want more war? Does it mean you want less war? All of these debates. It seems to me, though, we should at least be able to agree on a very basic definition of conservatism, which is we want to conserve things, perhaps at least the territorial integrity of the United States. Sorry, Oklahoma, We hardly knew you, and now you're gone. What radicalism remains in store? How many more months do we have left in this year? How much crazier can it get? We'll just have to wait and see. I'm Michael Knowles, filling in for the Ben Shapiro Show. Don't touch that radio dial. We'll be right back.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction with your security tip of the day. If it doesn't look right, it probably isn't. Many people hang around to investigate what may be a crime only to become a victim themselves because they confront a violent criminal. Leave the area and call your local law enforcement agency immediately. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Pulse Urgent Care is happy to announce the reopening of our urgent care clinic. Our hours are Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Saturday 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., and closed on Sundays. To protect the patients and the staff, we will continue to follow the recommendations on social distancing and face coverings. If you have or had a fever, cough, or shortness of breath within the last 14 days, please call ahead at 530-722-1111 for screening. Check out our website and Facebook page for more information. PulseUrgentCareCenter.com, 100 East Cypress Avenue. If it's urgent for you, it's important to us.
Orchard Nutrition Center has exclusive special offers now through the 4th of July. We carry organic, non-GMO, and clean, healthy products, and we're working to keep our community safe. We offer contactless shopping, social distancing, and we're sanitizing. Our staff, which includes certified nutritionists, take pride in helping you make informed product choices. We look forward to continuing to serve your family for many more years to come. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Thanks to the dedication of the people of Shasta County, we are able to move more quickly through Phase 2 of California's COVID-19 reopening plan. As our friends and neighbors reopen their businesses, remember this carefully thought-out plan is necessary to continue to limit the spread of COVID-19, and following the reopening guidance is critical. We still need to do everything we can to protect our vulnerable neighbors. Those aged 65 and older or with underlying medical conditions should stay home as much as possible. Non-essential travel and mass gatherings are still not allowed at this time, and we all need to continue to practice social distancing. Wear masks when out in public, stay home when sick, and practice respiratory hygiene. To see a list of businesses that can reopen with modifications, go to ShastaReady.org and click on Roadmap to Recovery. Our continued dedication to reopening in a safe, controlled manner will help us beat COVID-19 and continue to move forward.
Really strong insurers. Call 800-715-9880. That's right. Annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. I'm Michael Knowles filling in. You can find me on Twitter at Michael J. Knowles. You can find me on Apple Podcasts at The Michael Knowles Show and on Twitter and just all over the place. We are taking your calls this hour. Number is 855-236-3228. That is 855-236-3228. Let's turn now to Emma in California. Emma, you're on the air.
So I was wondering, in the current political climate, is it more important to express your opinions even if you could be canceled for them, or is it more important to protect your future education, business, et cetera, by staying silent?
The question of importance here depends on your goal, I think, is the difficult answer. And it's funny because conservatives sometimes lose sight of this. We forget that there is a purpose for something. We kind of lose sight of the goals while we are busy talking about procedure. We forget that the purpose of having some control of the court system is to effect some of our, you know, law and order, the things that we want, conservative jurisprudence. It's not merely to have a procedure, but there's actually stuff there too. So it depends what you want to do. If you want to protect a cushy job at a consulting company or in finance or something like that, then it's important not to state your views. Because if you state your views, then you're very likely going to get worse grades. You're going to be ostracized from important associations. You might just not get the job on its face. You won't do very well in the HR brainwashing sessions, and you probably won't move up at the company. So if that's your goal, if your goal is to just kind of go along to get along and make the most money possible, then probably you need to keep your views quiet. You see this in corporate America. People sometimes think that corporate America is conservative. It's not. It's not conservative at all. If anything, corporate America is the most culpable in pushing this left-wing culture, because all corporate America cares about is dollars and cents. So they want the path of least resistance. They don't want to fight cultural battles. They'll just go along to get along. Now, you might notice that's a little bit of a setup. If your goal is to have a good politics, if your goal is to stand by the integrity of your beliefs, if your goal is to sleep well at night knowing that you have stood by what you really think and maybe it costs you a little bit of money but you can sleep easy, then you've got to express your views. Now, you don't always need to be flamboyant about it. You don't need to put the MAGA hat on every time you walk up to the water cooler. But if someone asks you a direct question, I don't think you should lie. I think you should tell them what you believe. If you're being pressured to post the black square in support of a radical leftist Marxist organization called Black Lives Matter, I don't think you should give in to that peer pressure to do it. I don't think you should pretend to be something that you're not, because you know, some people are told, well, we only have one life, so, you know, try to make some money, try to make something of yourself. Then later on down the road, you can express your views. First of all, it doesn't get easier. It only gets harder and harder to express your views. And if you don't do it, if you don't make a habit out of it when you're young, you're not going to do it when you're older. But that is the point, right? You only have one life, so why spend that life pretending to be somebody who you're not? My take on this is, come what may, I'm going to stand by my views. But that is going to have costs, and conservatives know that nothing is free. There's no such thing as a free lunch. So if you want to stand by your views, there is a cost to that. For me, I think the cost is well worth it, and I think the stakes are high enough to merit it. But I can't make that decision for you. Only you can make that decision. Excellent call. Thank you so much, Emma. Let's turn now to Jose in Miami, Florida. Jose, you are on the air.
So I am a Hispanic conservative, and I have been thinking the Hispanic vote is actually larger than the black vote in the United States, if I'm correct. And most Hispanics are socially conservative, and we're very anti-communist. So the reason many of them, or maybe most of us, vote for the Democrats is because of lack of information. So I'd like to know what plan the Republicans have to reach out to the Hispanic community.
That's a great question. I think, first of all, you should probably call the RNC and put pressure on them to have a better plan to reach out to the Hispanic community. Some efforts have been made. I think the Trump campaign has actually done an excellent job, which is very, very funny. It's sort of ironic because Trump started his campaign by saying that illegal Mexican aliens are rapists and criminals, and some, I suppose, are good people. Yeah. So everyone thought that he wasn't going to get any Hispanic support. And he actually performed relatively quite well among Hispanic voters. Public opinion polls continue to show that. But you make this good point, especially if you're calling from Miami, especially Cuban people are staunchly anti-communist. They tend to be a little bit more Republican than other Hispanic groups. But what is this issue? You know, Ronald Reagan always said, Hispanics are natural conservatives. They just don't know it yet, and we've got to communicate this. And yet, the Hispanic vote does go overwhelmingly for Democrats. I think part of this is because of group dynamics. You know, there is this identity that is important to people. And identity can come in any number of ways. You can say that your top identity is as a Catholic, or your top identity is as an Italian, or your top identity is as a New Yorker, as an American. I'm describing all of my various identity groups here. For me, race has never been my primary identity. This is true if you look at public opinion polls. Pew Research put some work out on this. Racial consciousness is very low among white Americans. It's only about 5 to 15%. But among other ethnic groups, it's significantly higher. And the Democrats exploit this. The Democrats encourage this. The Democrats, in many ways, have created this phenomenon where racial identity is the primary identity. And so it's much harder to win over voters if they're voting en bloc and if they've been told that one political party hates them or hates them on the basis of race. So I think that's where the work really lies. Right now we're at a moment where the left is strongly pushing a racial identity. They're trying to push a racial identity even on white people by talking about how we need to abolish whiteness and white fragility and all this kind of stuff. If Republicans want to make inroads here before the politics gets totally racially balkanized, they're going to have to chip away not just on one issue or two issues or one geographic location or another. They're going to have to chip away at the Democrats' exploitation of racial consciousness. They're going to have to offer another kind of identity here. And at a time when the left is attacking even the American flag, right, even the symbol of our country itself, it's very difficult. What will that identity be? It seems to me pretty clear that the identity has to be one of American patriotism, love of your country. We're all Americans. Trump has focused on this wonderfully. He said we all bleed the same blood of patriots. That's what we've got to focus on. And I actually think the Republicans know that's the battle, and I think the Democrats know that's the battle. And that's why all this statue toppling and attacking George Washington and desecrating the American flag, that is really the battle here. The battle is ultimately going to come down to votes, and it's going to be how do you identify? Do you identify with one small racial group, or do you identify as an American? And it's why I'm all for outreach in the traditional senses, but it's why these battles over statues, these battles over history, these battles over the American curriculum. I think that's actually where this fight for the Hispanic vote and any other group of voters is going to be won. And I hope that we stand firm on it. I know some conservatives have gone squishy. Trump seems to be standing firm. I think that's not just going to decide this election. It's going to decide many elections to come. Thank you, Jose, for the call. A very interesting and important question. Let's turn now to Ian in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Ian, you're on the air.
Hi, Michael. It's good to speak with you. I'm actually calling out of Detroit, Michigan. But
you're in Detroit, Michigan. That's not even close to Philly.
Well, you know, same part of the woods. We both got a funny accent and can't pronounce our R's, so it's somewhat similar.
That's a good point. You make a good point. Well, from wherever you are, what do you have to ask? How can I help you?
Well, my question pertains to, well, I guess it's in light of the Supreme Court decision that was released sometime yesterday evening, McGirt v. Oklahoma. And yeah. I'm not sure if you have had a chance to review this. I haven't had a chance to listen to your podcast with Senator Cruz this morning, where I know you were discussing some of the recent Supreme Court decisions.
Yeah.
Yeah. How, in light of Judge Gorsuch's apparent defection to the other side, or at least a reckless abandonment for the textualist interpretation that he was appointed for, what do we do with the Supreme Court? They seem to continually push the boundary of legislating from the bench, and McGirt v. Oklahoma seems to have some of the broadest sweeping implications thus far.
Absolutely, and I would like to thank you for that plug of my podcast with Senator Cruz. It's called Verdict with Ted Cruz, and we discuss, actually in a show that was just released in the last 12 hours or so, we discuss some of these consequential Supreme Court decisions, because Senator Cruz, obviously, constitutional lawyer, he's argued cases before the court and knows the subject very well. So I won't speak on his behalf. I'll just speak from my read, but I think it expresses the views of a lot of conservatives, which is that we have been hoodwinked. We've been sold a bill of goods. We've been told now for decades that the judges are the most important thing. We need to win the next election if for no other reason than the judges. And once we get a conservative court, then finally we'll be able to overturn some outrageous legislation from the bench. And for a lot of conservatives, one of the big cases would be Roe versus Wade. So egregious, not just in its consequences of killing a million babies a year, but in its destruction of the Constitution. Roe versus Wade discovers some imaginary right to abortion in the Constitution, presumably written in invisible ink after the penumbras and before the emanations. It just doesn't make sense. It's judges writing laws. And we've been promised just one more judge, and we'll overturn all these bad decisions. We'll even overturn Roe versus Wade. And I think we're looking at this decision now, particularly in the Oklahoma case, and realizing that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. Somehow, we're always one judge away. Isn't that so convenient? They're not going to do it. You know, Judge Gorsuch in this McGirt versus Oklahoma case has given away half of the state of Oklahoma to Native American tribes. It's amazing. I guess we'll be able to make it on with 49 and a half states, but 2020 keeps throwing us surprises that we've actually lost half of Oklahoma. All, by the way, in service of letting a child rapist off the hook. Don't forget, the basis of this case is that a man who's now 71 raped a 4-year-old girl decades ago and has been serving his prison sentence, and now he doesn't have to because the state of Oklahoma doesn't have jurisdiction over that area. But it's not just in the Oklahoma case. We saw this in the Bostock case a couple of weeks ago. We saw this in cases that fundamentally redefine sex from the bench, and it was the allegedly conservative judge and allegedly originalist judge who did it. I think that now you're seeing calls for a rethinking of the conservative legal movement. It isn't giving us the goods. And unless we radically transform the way that we think about textualism, the way that we think about originalism, the way that we think about the consequences of elections to give us judges, then that is no longer going to be a persuasive argument in elections. They tell us that the Supreme Court looks at the election returns, right? They look at the polls. They're making decisions that are in many ways political, in many ways designed to preserve the legitimacy of the court, as they say. Well, fair enough, but we're all looking at the election returns as well. And the politicians are looking at the election returns as well. And unless something changes, unless we can finally begin to rely on conservative judges, it's not going to be a factor. And it's one of Republicans' strongest elements, you know, strongest campaign platforms, is these judges. Well, that's gone away. And so I think the way that we've got to reimagine it is not strictly from a judicial standpoint, but even from bare bones politics. If we can't appeal to their better angels, if we can't appeal to their reason, we have to at least appeal to their political interest. Republicans are going to lose elections because of these sorts of decisions, because we can't rely on conservative judges. So I guess we're going to need a new type of conservative judge. Very good question. Very important question. Thank you for that. Let's turn now to Peter. We can't turn to Peter. We're out of time. But Peter is the one who's actually from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. That's too bad. Maybe we'll have to get to him a little bit later. We'll take a quick break. Do not go anywhere. I'm Michael Knowles, filling in for the Ben Shapiro Show. You can find me on Twitter at Michael J. Knowles. Maybe go follow me over there right now. But don't crash your car. You know, I want you to be safe. pull over first, then do it, and don't touch that dial, because we will be right back.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If your idea of a big, bold summer is hanging out around the backyard barbecue, I've got a snack that will fit right in. Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds. Yep, it's a bold-flavored snack that's more craveable than potato chips and the perfect low-carb alternative to breadcrumbs in your favorite recipe. You gotta try the Korean Kimchi Barbecue, Spicy Dill, Pasilla Chili Cheese, and Blackberry Habanero Pork Rinds. This summer, start your own flavor adventure by downloading our coupon and finding new recipes at porkrinds.com. That's porkrinds.com.
Whether you need it to cool off after a workout or warm you up in a hot bath, your tap water is there when you need it. It is even used to produce your morning coffee, the clothes you wear, or cleaning the fruits and veggies you like to snack on. Your water utility works hard around the clock to ensure high-quality drinking water is there when you need it on demand. To learn about your water's journey from source to tap, contact your local water provider. Visit drinktap.org to learn more.
Furnished by the American Water Works Association.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. I'm Michael Knowles filling in. You can find me at the Michael Knowles Show podcast. You can find me on Twitter at Michael J. Knowles. We are taking your calls. 855-236-3228, that number 855-236-3228. We were very rudely cut off by that break as we were trying to answer a phone call from Peter in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So we will turn now to Peter. Peter, you are on the air.
Hi, Michael. I really appreciate you taking my call, and I'm just glad to see a real Renaissance man on the program for once.
My name's Peter.
My name's Peter, and I'm hoping you can help me with an ethical dilemma that I was faced with this morning. Okay. I'm a college student, and for the last 3 years, I've been volunteering at a local hospital, doing a job where I think I've been able to help people in their times of need and make a difference. I'm also conservative and obviously very pro-life. This morning, my hospital sent out an email to all their staff and volunteers saying that they're going to be providing elective abortion procedures in the next few months to patients. And I'm torn now if I can keep volunteering because obviously it's an institution where I think I can make a difference for some people, but I don't want to help an organization that is complicit in the murder of children.
Right.
So do you think I can in good conscience continue helping, or do I have to look for a job somewhere else?
I think you can in good conscience continue to help because because of the degrees here of one's complicity in abortion, presumably you wouldn't be helping out the abortionists and you wouldn't be helping out in anything related to the abortions. But you feel uncomfortable that you're part of this organization and you're trying to do good even in an organization that is in part doing evil. But of course, we can extrapolate this out to our towns and our cities and our country. Our nation is complicit in this great, great moral evil, killing a million babies a year. And not only are they complicit in it and providing legal protections for that and opposing perfectly legal measures that would try to reduce the number of abortions. For instance, the Supreme Court case that we just lost, and we lost because of conservative turncoats, where the state of Louisiana tried to pass certain laws to hold abortionists to the same medical standards as actual healthcare professionals, and that was shot down. So we're not even allowed to do that, and yet we still help out our country. We still participate. We still vote. We still pay taxes. Don't forget, some of those taxpayer dollars are going to abortionists in America. We still haven't cut, unbelievably, we still haven't cut taxpayer funding for Planned Parenthood, based on bogus arguments that money is not fungible, that the money that we're sending doesn't directly go to abortions. Well, of course it does, because money just moves around and around. If you fund the organization that provides all these abortions, then you're funding abortion. And yet we still participate. I suppose this is because we're in an imperfect politics and a fallen world. I think you could still do quite a lot of good at a hospital, even if this hospital is doing a truly egregious thing. Now, if you said that you just can't stomach the thought of even being around that, or giving the scandal that you would be a part of this organization, I would understand that as well, and perhaps you could go volunteer at another hospital. But if you're stuck, if this is the only hospital in your area and you think you can still do good there, I think you certainly can. And the presence of evil in that place might, in a way, be all the more call for you to try to do good and to try to drown out that evil and to try to work against it and perhaps to lobby and campaign for that no longer to occur at that hospital. A tough question, and I think it's in your court, but I don't think you would do wrong either way. I don't think you would personally be culpable if you continued to help as well. Let's turn now to Mitch in Everett, Washington. Mitch, you're on the air.
Hey, Michael. How are you doing? Thanks for having me on your show.
I'm doing very well. How can I help you?
Yeah, I live in Seattle. I might be the last conservative in the city.
Wow. Are you in the Chaz of Seattle? Are you in the Autonomous Principality, or are you in America?
Very close. I'm about six blocks away from what was formerly the Chaz.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. Did you need a passport, by the way, when you were walking in and out of there, or was it did they have treaties?
No treaties that I knew of. I kind of snuck in.
Good.
But they definitely harass you if you had your video camera out.
Wow.
So I guess my question is about policing. I don't know if you saw, but the Seattle City Council just voted to defund the Seattle Police Department by 50%.
Yep.
And as kind of a libertarian-minded guy, I've been following a lot of libertarian circles, and there's been a kind of a frustration with police departments, and I was wondering if you think there's any room for privately contracted police in America.
Of course there is.
That would be a...
No, of course there is. It's funny you mentioned this. I was having this discussion yesterday with a number of conservatives here, which is the kind of vindication of this particular libertarian point of view, which is that we should have privately funded security. It's not even that I'm advocating for private police or private security. I'm just saying it is a fact that we will see much, much more of this. We will see, in effect, privately funded police. And the reason for that is people need to be protected. So either the state is going to provide that protection, or people will provide it for themselves. Very wealthy people, people with means, people with power, are not going to leave themselves vulnerable. That ain't going to happen. So somebody is going to pay for it. And it's an irony, because the people who are calling to defund police are talking about the oppressed and the marginalized. All that they will do is make those people more vulnerable to crime. People who are marginalized, people who are living in the lower tiers of society, will die at a higher rate because of calls to defund the police. And the wealthy people are just going to protect themselves. That's how it's going to work. H.L. Mencken had this quote, which is that democracy is the theory that the common people know what they want and that they deserve to get it good and hard. And it's a very graphic and evocative image, but it's true. That is what happens in a representative democracy. Eventually, we do get what we want. We do get what we vote for. Our elected representatives, it pains me to say, are a representation of us. We the people. We elected them. And especially now as we're being told we're not allowed to have our own private weapons, we're not allowed to have our Second Amendment rights, we're not allowed to have the police. Well, what's going to happen? Something's got to give somewhere. And I assume that eventually the people calling right now to defund the police are going to call to bring the police back, because in a world where the state is not providing security for people, even the marginalized, then only the wealthy and powerful and influential will have it. That's a real privilege. I mean, that's a real stratification of society that I don't think people are going to be very comfortable with down the line. But we'll wait and see. And in the meantime, protect yourself, especially if you're living that close to the Soviet Union, formerly known as Chaz. We've got to take a quick break. I'm Michael Knowles, filling in for the Ben Shapiro Show. Do not go anywhere. Subscribe to the Michael Knowles Show podcast. Follow me on Twitter at Michael J. Knowles. And don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Some good news for longtime Trump confidant Roger Stone, just days before he was set to report to prison to begin a 3-year, 4-month sentence handed down in February for lying to Congress. President Trump Friday commuting Stone's sentence. Commutation does not erase Stone's felony convictions in the same way a pardon would, but it would protect him from serving prison time as a result. Tropical storm Fay working its way up the East Coast. National Hurricane Center's Michael Brennan says Fay could produce some flash flooding.
Fay is expected to produce either 2 to 4 inches, with isolated amounts as high as 7 are expected from the lower Maryland eastern shore and Delaware northward to New Jersey, across portions of eastern Pennsylvania, southeastern New York, and southern New England.
Before leaving Washington for Florida Friday morning, President Trump checked out the weather map.
Tropical storm Fay is probably going to be hitting a place called New Jersey, a good place, pretty soon. So we are on the watch. We're fully prepared. FEMA's ready in case it's bad. Shouldn't be too bad, but you never know. You never know.
Later in the day Friday, the Trump campaign announced a planned rally in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, on Saturday night, had been postponed because of the weather. Overseas, one of the wonders of the world, once a Christian church, then a mosque, then a museum, is once again a mosque.
The call to prayer being broadcast today from Hagia Sophia. Soon, Muslim worshippers will be able to respond. Turkish officials say prayers will be held at the 6th century architectural jewel as early as next week. The move will please Turkish nationalists and President Erdogan's conservative religious base. But Turkey's most acclaimed writer, Orhan Pamuk, told us it would be a scar on Istanbul.
That's the BBC's Ola Guerin reporting. This is townhall.com.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For a free quote, call 800-523-3771. That's 800-523-3771. 800-523-3771. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Philippine lawmakers rejected the license renewal of the country's largest TV network after repeated threats by President Duterte, taking a major news provider off the air amid the coronavirus pandemic. We get the latest from the BBC's Howard Johnson.
The impact is going to be significant. People will feel very aggrieved by this. Others, supporters of the president, will feel that this was the right decision based on the fact that there were also allegations of tax evasion, that there were labor disputes with the company, and these were the issues that Congress say that they were reviewing. But this is a very pliant Congress, one that normally votes in favor of what the president wants. So many people will now be reacting to this. Undoubtedly, human rights groups will come forward and definitely say that this is connected to a clampdown on the democratic space in the Philippines.
The National Telecommunications Commission had ordered it shut down in May. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. The coronavirus has knocked the solar industry for a loop.
The recent spikes in the virus, especially in Sunbelt states where solar panels became popular, have caused the solar panel industry to nosedive. Homeowners are cutting back on spending and have been urged to maintain social distancing from installers. And in what had started as a promising year, solar installations in America and Europe are now down by 30%. Ken Lorman reporting.
The Trump administration plans to impose taxes on $1.3 billion in French imports, hitting handbags and makeup, but sparing cheese and wine, all in retaliation for France's digital services tax on U.S. technology giants. But the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative said the levies would be delayed for about 180 days, 6 months, to provide time for negotiations. More on these stories, check them out at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Hi. I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference before, during, and after disasters such as hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, or wildfires. So when disaster strikes, you want to be prepared to protect them. Be sure to microchip or tag your pets. Never leave them behind in a major crisis, and be sure to have an emergency kit ready in your home at all times with a pet crate or carrier, leash, blanket, ID, and medications, their water bowl, and 7 to 10 days' worth of food. To find out how to protect your entire family during a disaster and help our best friends in their worst times, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Room.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Redding, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney with Shasta Gas Propane and Shasta Tanks. Because of the probability of our power being shut off during wind events or fires, many people are installing standby generators. Shasta Gas is now selling standby generators with propane tanks so that you will have home power during these outages. Give us a call at 365-3793 to get a quote on a generator and tank installation. That number again is 365-3793.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge with Brad Dacus.
At a time when organizations upholding traditional views of marriage are increasingly under attack, President Trump has just signed an executive order that strengthens our nation's foster care system by calling on states and cities to partner with faith-based and other private charities.
Stay informed on religious freedoms. Receive our weekly email newsletter, The Legal Insider, at pji.org.
Hi, I'm Sue Blake with Powerhouse Solar. Solar energy not only makes financial sense, but right now you can go solar for zero money down. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the most cost-effective and highest efficiency panels from SunPower. And with the electric company's rolling blackouts, Powerhouse Solar can make sure your family is not left in the dark. We have generators and battery backup systems designed for your specific needs. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
Now, all the racial problems are solved, right? Except it seems as though, since that time, they've only gotten much, much worse.
Yeah, it hasn't. And the interesting thing is that the left, they have, you think about all the celebrating that went on over Barack Obama being elected president. We all remember that. And I was not an Obama fan at all, to say the least.
Yeah.
But it was significant that, you know, you think you go back 150 years and black people were slaves. And then you go back only a few decades and you had segregation, civil rights. And now a black man is being elected president. So there's supposed to be this great historic moment, which it was, at least it was historic anyway. But now the left has basically gone back and said that was meaningless. It had no meaning whatsoever. And it does not reflect at all that systemic racism has. It's not just that systemic racism still exists. It's that, according to them, it's as bad as it's ever been. It might even be worse than it's ever been. So they have. So what was the advantage? What was the point of even electing a black man president? Apparently, according to them, nothing at all.
This is what seems to always happen with the left. Actually, specifically with Obama, we were told Barack Obama is going to pass universal health care, Obamacare. This is it. This is going to solve the health care problem in America. And it was this zillion-dollar plan that was very disruptive. It threw a lot of people off of their health insurance. A lot of people had to lose their doctors. Prices went up. Premiums went up. I mean, it was so massive in its consequence. Major Supreme Court case that was decided because of it that upended a lot of legal conservatism and jurisprudence. And then we're now told it doesn't matter at all. It didn't affect the healthcare debate. Now we need socialized medicine. It's as if none of that which we grant to the left earns us any credit. It just the march of progress continues apace.
Yeah, and that's a lesson that I wish people on the right would learn, that it doesn't, as you say, whatever you grant to them, it doesn't matter. There's no point in making any concessions because it won't make a difference anyway. It's not going to inoculate you from criticism at all. But I think what we find is that the left, of course, they operate on a victim narrative. That's the way it's been for decades, which means that even when they own the culture and they achieve every victory, they achieve everything they set out to achieve, they still have to paint themselves as the victim, which means, ironically, denying even their own successes, because if they acknowledge their own successes, then they have to give up the victim narrative, which they can't do. Because if they give up the victim narrative, then they're not going to have any more successes. And so that's the way the cycle works, I guess.
That's a great way to put it, because I've been trying to think about this. There's been a big debate that's broken out on the problems with liberalism itself, you know, lowercase L liberalism, that you're always liberating yourself from something. Kind of the premise of liberalism is there's an oppressive past and you gotta liberate yourself beyond that. But what happens when you run out of oppression? What happens when you run out of villains? Well, you've got to invent villains, and that seems to me what's happening now. I mean, early on in the riots, we were told, actually, these are totally peaceful protests, and the only violence that's being committed is being committed by white supremacists. And I think there are about, what, 7 white supremacists in the country? I mean, it seems to be kind of an illusion, and when you looked at the riots, certainly that did not seem to be the case. So does this just all basically boil down to fantasy?
I think it does, and I think we have to be a lot bolder than we're being in confronting this oppression narrative, because the fact is, yes, there's still injustice that happens in this country. There's always going to be injustice,
yeah,
because we're never going to be a utopia. But most of the oppression narrative is just imaginary. These are people who are imagining, fantasizing about oppression that simply doesn't exist. And we know that based on, if you look at the statistics, I mean, things like this idea that there are racist cops out executing innocent black men, that's just not happening. It's every year there are maybe 1 or 2 questionable police shootings, a handful at most. But the vast majority of police shootings are obviously justified. And of course, we also know that the real threat that black men in the city face is within their own community from criminals and murderers and things like that. So, you know, you can look at that. I mean, you can look at this, at people inventing hate crimes. I mean, we go back through history at oppressed and persecuted groups. Can we find examples of actual oppressed and persecuted groups who invent more oppression for themselves?
Right.
Which it wouldn't be necessary to do in the first place, and they wouldn't have any appetite for it. So I think that in itself proves something.
Right. You do see this a lot. You see a number of hoaxes, not even on racial issues, but on sexual issues. I mean, it seems to crop up. Often, I don't know. It might be the sign of a culture that once you overcome all of the actual oppression, you don't know what to do. You've kind of lost the narrative. And I see this even historically. You've made this great point on Twitter, which is that the entire premise of tearing down the statues of Washington, even and Jefferson and Lincoln and Saint Junipero Serra, and now they're tearing down everybody. The argument is that no matter how much good they did. They're tearing down actual saints, but no matter how much good they did, if they ever did anything bad at all, or if they even look like people who did anything bad at all, we've got to tear down their statues. And yet at the same time that we're tearing down statues of George Washington, we're putting up murals, actual monuments to George Floyd, whose death started off all of these riots. How do you reconcile those two things?
Yeah, and the point we have to make is that these murals, it's not just murals, they're naming streets after him, buildings, you know, and they gave a folded American flag to his family. The Democrats kneeled for 8 minutes in honor of him and explicitly said it was in honor of him. So these are things that are celebrating and honoring the man. This is not just about speaking out about the injustice of his death. This is honoring and celebrating the man. Well, if we're going to do that, then I think it becomes relevant to ask whether or not he was actually an honorable man worthy of celebration. And that's when you have to look at, you know, not just his criminal record, but you look at the aggravated armed robbery that he committed. He invaded a woman's home when her child was present, put a gun to her stomach, and robbed her. Okay, this is a barbaric act of evil. This is extreme evil. If you think about what that does to a person, this is a woman who's traumatized for the rest of her life, as anyone would be after an experience like that. And now does anyone care about this woman? Has anyone talked to her to see how she feels about it? She has to walk by murals celebrating her attacker, and listen to all of this worship of him. And that's just, if we're going to do this, if we're going to say that the evil perpetrated by great men like Jefferson and Washington is reason enough to tear down their statues, then what about their evil perpetrated by a man who, as far as we know, as far as we could tell, never achieved anything great in his life whatsoever? The only noteworthy thing about him is the manner in which he died. So we're gonna honor people now based solely on how they died and not how they lived. I think that's perverse and backwards.
So of course, and by the way, that standard would not be applied to the people whose statues are being torn down anyway. Even that sort of reasoning of leaving it up, because it seems to me a little more exploitative than all of this, than all we're being told. It seems to me more exploitative than focusing on Washington or focusing on George Floyd. It seems to me that the decision to tear down statues and to build up murals and name streets actually has absolutely nothing to do with Washington and George Floyd, the men, and it has everything to do with this radical ideology that you touched on at the very beginning. We hear the phrase Black Lives Matter, and Black Lives Matter has nothing to do with Black Lives Matter. It is an avowedly Marxist organization dedicated to the destruction of the nuclear family. I mean, really vicious, awful, un-American stuff, all under this banner of this kind of racial slogan. And yet we've got elected politicians on both sides of the aisle proudly proclaiming the slogan.
Yeah, and I would encourage anyone to actually go to Black Lives Matter. They have a website, you know, it's the modern time, so go to their website. Yeah. They show what their mission statement is, what they believe. They have a What We Believe section. And what you're going to find is there's like one mention of police brutality, and the rest of it is radical far left stuff. They mention trans and gay issues over and over and over again. There's a very strange focus on that, because I thought this was supposed to be Black Lives Matter, not LGBT Lives Matter, right? But then there's, you know, stuff about dismantling the nuclear family and undoing heteronormative thinking and all these kinds of things. These are the priorities of white female gender studies students. You know, I think if we did a poll of your average Black American, I don't think many of them are going to say that their main things they worry about when they wake up in the morning are heteronormative thinking and cisgender privilege.
Yes. And a queer-affirming network to foster blah, blah, blah. Right.
Exactly. This has got nothing to do with Black Lives whatsoever. They just put but this is one of the cleverest branding decisions we've ever seen anyone do, where they put that in the name of the organization.
Right.
And now we're being told that if you criticize them, you're criticizing the concept of Black Lives Mattering, which is of course absurd. That's a concept that almost nobody in America disagrees with. We all agree that Black Lives Matter. That is established. So let's go on to what this organization actually stands for.
It seems to me it's so self-flattering to use the hashtag, because the implication is, well, I think that Black Lives Matter, but there are, and everybody I know, by the way, thinks that Black Lives Matter, but there are a great many people out there in America, those deplorable, irredeemable, bad people who think that Black Lives don't matter. So I've got to post this to show those people. And of course, if you polled the country statistically, 100% of people would agree with that sentiment, but it's just the way it'd be like saying, hey, I'm part of the Do Good Things organization, but when you read the About Us page, it's a radical, narrow ideology, but everybody wants to signal to everyone else that they're a good person, that they're virtuous. People aren't reading the details, but let me tell you, the devil is in the details. Speaking of the devil, by the way, I got to plug your book. Everyone needs to go out and read Matt Walsh's book, Church of Cowards, which, you know, it ties into a lot of the questions we're talking about here on the spiritual erosion of the country. But it's also written in Matt's inimitable style, which is just acerbic and very funny. So I encourage everybody to go read it. And Matt, I've held you up from your flight. You've got to go like run and catch a flight right now.
Yeah, actually, I got to pick up my wife from a flight.
You got to pick up your wife. Oh, okay. Well, that can wait. Then we'll have you on for another three segments. That's great.
She'll be fine.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Go watch the Matt Walsh show. Matt, excellent to speak to you and clarifying as always.
Awesome. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, pal. We've got much more, but one must wait for just a moment. We got to take a quick break. Head on over to the Michael Knowles Show podcast. Maybe click subscribe. Maybe leave a 5-star review. I don't know. That'd be fabulous if you wouldn't mind. You can find me also on Twitter at Michael J. Knowles. And most importantly, don't touch the radio dial, because we will be right back.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
I'll see you later. Okay.
So Dr. Pui is the best of the best of the leukemia doctors at St. Jude. And we very quickly found out how much he loves his patients. One of our first visits with Dr. Pui, and he was kind of running through the protocol and naming off all the medications. And he said, but don't worry, you don't pay that. St. Jude pays that. Just to think, like, and what if they didn't?
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures. Saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt? Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs you qualify for free. Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. I'm Michael Knowles filling in. You can find me on Twitter at Michael J. Knowles, and I'm the host of the Michael Knowles Show podcast, which you can get on Apple Podcasts and YouTube and Google Play and probably MySpace, and I don't know, it's all over the place. In the annals of great statecraft, in the annals of political oratory, we think of a few names that come to mind right away. Pericles, the funeral oration, Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. Maybe Winston Churchill fighting on the beaches. Maybe Ronald Reagan talking about our rendezvous with destiny. And then, of course, there is Joe Biden mumbling incoherently.
Lonnie knows I believe this every fiber of my being. We're posed. What I propose is it can be done. I think we're in a position to really make it happen. And my team and your team are already working closely together to light up the path forward here. Critical laws like the PRO Act to strengthen collective bargaining. On politics like prevailing and... I'm taking too much time.
Stunning. Inspirational. I'm blown away. But that's actually not even the saddest thing I've heard Joe Biden say in recent days. When Joe Biden is making sense, when he is forming coherent sentences... That's almost worse because he's revealing how out of touch the Democratic Party is, Democratic leadership, the left establishment in general, how out of touch they are with the majority of the American people.
All the talk the last 20 years about driving down the rationale for unions, all of a sudden, this phrase, everybody's been woked. Well, guess what? The rest of the working class people in America have been awakened and realized, whoa, why? Because I work at a fast food restaurant that I have to sign an agreement that I will not compete, a non-compete agreement, that I will not go across town to another fast food restaurant and try to get a raise. What in the hell is that about?
What's that about? You know, now that everybody's been woked, I don't think the phrase is everybody's been woked. There is this term woke, but it is not a verb. You do not become woked. And it's so odd because the term woke kind of arose on the left. I think now it's used more ironically on the right, kind of like the term political correctness. Political correctness is a term that arose on the left in earnest or as an in term, but now it's used almost exclusively by the right to make fun of the left. It's because the left is disconnected from reality. When I heard Joe Biden say that, it reminded me of a moment in 2016 when Hillary Clinton was Democratic nominee. She's on the campaign trail, and she tried to appeal to the youths. You know, she tried to make a hip pop culture reference by referring to the game Pokemon Go as a way to get people to go vote for her.
Because we're going to have a lot of jobs from building infrastructure to coding, creating new apps. I don't know who created Pokemon Go, but I'm trying to figure out how we get them to have Pokemon go to the polls.
Oh, try the veal, folks. Tip your waitress. Take my wife, please. It's like not exactly Henny Youngman up there. It's like a bad set at the Borscht Belt. Why is it that the left can't meme? I guess that's the question. This is something we talk about on the internet. The left can't meme. It's actually because the left controls the entire establishment, and memes and effective humor and subversive comedy requires you to not control the entire establishment. We've pointed out on this show before that the left controls every major institution in this country, the mainstream media, Hollywood, higher education, lower education, administrative government, big tech. They control all of it. Then they complain about institutional racism as if they didn't control all of the institutions. Well, when you control the establishment, when you control the institutions, then you're not able to subvert them as well. Those two things are not possible. It's why, frankly, Kanye West, who is now maybe running for president, I don't know, he's talking about running for president. It's why the way that he speaks about politics actually probably has more bearing on reality, more connection to the concerns of people than Joe Biden. The left is living in a fantasy. It's disconnected because of its disconnect on the issues, because of its disconnect on our politics. It's disconnected in the rhetoric, too. And you can either laugh or cry because it is pretty sad. It's pretty funny. We'll take a quick break. I'm Michael Knowles filling in for the Ben Shapiro Show. Don't go anywhere.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their life. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Slow down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
I pledge allegiance to the flag.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Me at the Michael Knowles Show podcast on Apple Podcasts. You can find me on Twitter at Michael J. Knowles. You may have forgotten that there is a presidential campaign going on. I know the riots and the plagues and the giving away half of Oklahoma probably has you a little distracted, but actually we are in the midst of presidential campaign season, even though there's no campaign. Maybe there's no campaign by design. Maybe the fact that there's no campaign is helping one candidate, such as Joe Biden, over the other one. I don't know. Here to help me understand it is one of my favorite Democrats in the country, Jessica Tarlov, contributor for Fox News Channel and senior director of research and consumer insight for Bustle, the owner and operator of Bustle.com, Romper, and Elite Daily. And Jessica has been a Democratic strategist with Doug Schoen, where she advised domestic and international clients on all sorts of political matters. And hopefully now she can advise me on what the Democratic Party is doing. Jessica, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So I'm watching this campaign. Me, a layman, what do I know? And I see that the Democratic Party's presumptive nominee, Joe Biden, is not campaigning. He actually gave this sort of small press gaggle where he said he's not going to campaign, and he's sort of blaming it on the virus, and he says it's the doctor's orders. And now you're already seeing calls in the New York Times for there not to be presidential debates. To me, it looks like Joe Biden is trying to get out of the hardships of the campaign, maybe because he is famously prone to gaffes. Is my read on this thing too cynical, or do I have a point?
I think both can be true, actually.
Okay.
But I'm just feeling generous on
Thank
this
you.
Friday,
appreciate it.
This sunny Friday in Hollywood. Listen, I think that there are real, genuine health concerns for him. He's in the most at-risk category, right?
Yep.
And campaigning is shaking hands and kissing babies,
yep,
right? Both of which things
right.
we are forbidden from doing.
Right.
And you are correct that he has stuck his foot in it, you know, a few times when he's out and uncensored, though I would also add to that that he has had some of his most charming moments as well when he's out with people, especially when he's connecting about healthcare issues, right?
Sure.
And, you know, there was a moment early in the campaign talking to a young boy who also suffers from a stutter. You know, those are the moments that really expose the type of person Joe Biden is and why a lot of people, even moderate Republicans, are now supporting his campaign. So I think that there's health, there's concern about him uncensored for, you know, an hour, 90 minutes, whatever, you know, for long periods of time, that exists contemporaneously. And I think that the Democrats really want to send a message that we are taking this virus extremely seriously. And the contrast between the Tulsa rally, for instance, and how careful we're being, you know, we have a virtual convention that's going to be out of Milwaukee where the vice president will be, where he'll accept the Democratic nomination, but there will be very few people there, really demonstrates the seriousness of the pandemic in the minds of our party. And I think that's important. I would also add that an advantage that Joe Biden has that the president doesn't have in the same way in terms of galvanizing voters is he has such a strong state stable of surrogates. If you look even at yesterday, so he announced his Build Back Better plan, right, his economic plan. And he had Kamala Harris out there. He had Amy Klobuchar. He had Sherrod Brown. He had Julian Castro. Elizabeth Warren did an event as well. And so it's kind of like choose your own adventure for Democrats, right? Like you can get your favorite person basically every day doing something fun. And I think he's comfortable with that.
I think that's a good point because so much of the Biden candidacy from the very beginning seems to me that he's kind of nothing. I don't even mean that in a disparaging way. I just mean Joe Biden is this kind of blank slate, neutral, totally typical Democratic candidate. And so you can, if he relies on surrogates, then he can push, you know, toward one demographic or toward one ideological part of the Democratic Party, or he can push toward another. And I guess this is the problem of the basement campaign. You know, that you're right that he has had at least a couple charming moments on the campaign trail. It offers voters a chance to see him and to connect to him. And he's also had many gaffes on the campaign trail. And when you just stick at home and you don't go out and campaign, you don't get either of those things. So is the calculation right now of the Democratic Party that the negatives would outweigh the positives, the gaffes would outweigh the charming moments, and that does the Democratic Party really believe that Joe Biden can sit on his couch until November 3rd and then move from his couch to the Oval Office?
So I would push back on that. He's actually been out way more than I think folks certainly on the right are giving him credit for. You know, he was out in Scranton yesterday. He was out on Memorial Day. He went and met with George Floyd's family. He was in Houston. He hasn't just been in his basement. And I know that it's kind of a favored line about this. Now, he's certainly not walking from, you know, the White House to Marine One every day and talking to a gaggle of reporters that are I understand that contrast. But he, I don't think has been as inactive as people would make it out. And I don't think the calculation is that it's better if he's stuck inside versus being out there. But I do think it loops back to the gravity of the moment in terms of COVID and the fact that Joe Biden's popularity stems from, and I don't want to say I fully endorse your kind of blank slate candidacy argument, but I actually wrote a piece this week in The Hill about his why people are enthusiastic about him, and it's because of policies. So Joe Biden is an amalgamation of Democrats' favorite policies, right? Like raising the minimum wage, expanding healthcare, having a public option, his climate plan, his jobs plan, and people on the right are animated by Trump the man. And on the left, they're animated by a collection of policies.
I would actually, I would push back on that.
I would enthusiam gap.
I would push back a little bit. I know this is the popular view, even among people on the right, is that people just love Trump the man. I'm kind of more with Ann Coulter on this. Ann wrote this whole book with a very, very enthusiastic title, In Trump We Trust. But her argument was basically people actually – everyone thinks you like Trump the man regardless of what his policies are. But actually, I think a lot of people like the policies. He's talking about different things on trade, for instance, than a lot of other Republicans. Mm-hmm. They like the policies in a way in spite of some of his personality issues. And I don't know. I think there's an argument to be had there. But surely you're right. The Biden campaign is a kind of amalgamation of all these Democratic policies that people really like.
Right.
On the question of the man, you know, we've heard a lot about Trump's horrible personalities, narcissist. He's losing it. It would seem pretty clear to me that Joe Biden today is not the Joe Biden that we knew 10 years ago, and he's not the Joe Biden we knew 20 years ago. Do you think this cognitive decline issue is, one, a fair argument, and two, something that's going to weigh heavily in November?
I don't think it's a fair argument. I think that if you watched him yesterday, or the speech that he gave in Philadelphia, or in the fundraiser with Barack Obama like a couple weeks ago, the day he raised $11 million, I don't see that. He has always had moments of being a step slow. Some of that I think is due to the stutter and, you know, overthinking what he's going to say and making sure that he can get the right word. But yeah, he has senior moments every once in a while. And I don't think it's a real issue for voters, particularly in this election, because it seems everyone is hip to the fact that this is a binary choice.
Yes.
Right. In 2016, people flirted with third party candidates. They thought, oh, maybe I'll stay home. No one feels that way right now. And if they are disenchanted with both candidates, which frankly is a lot of people,
yeah,
Biden is up something like 50 points.
Right.
In terms of approval.
Right.
And so I would push back on that. And I've also, and I think we've talked about this when you joined us over at Fox, that I am personally very uncomfortable with armchair medical diagnoses,
sure,
of
sure,
people we don't know. And
yeah,
that was true with Hillary when there was the OG of Parkinson's. I have never said I think Trump is suffering from anything besides arrogance.
Yep.
And I wouldn't comment as well on what I think is going on with Biden. I just don't think it's appropriate, and I think it's really dangerous, especially going into an election, to,
sure,
be having those conversations. And, you know, when Trump last night on Hannity said, like, you know, I went to Walter Reed, which we didn't know, and I had a cognitive test and it surprised them because I aced it. Like,
yeah,
I don't even want to touch that. You know,
right.
A, it's
right,
a ridiculous thing to say, but what do we know, right? We're sitting in our studios,
yeah,
pontificating about stuff that doctors know way better than us. So,
that's,
I'm,
right,
I stay out of that.
Yeah. I have to say, Jessica, you have made a much better argument for Joe Biden than I think Joe Biden has been making himself. I think the Democratic Party would do much better if their nominee were, I don't know, say Jessica Tarlov instead of Joe Biden.
Maybe one day.
Maybe one day. That's right. If they get lucky, if they get through this election, I don't know. Obviously, the numbers don't look good for President Trump. But in politics, anything,
right,
can happen. We still have several more months. Jessica, thank you so much for being here. You can always see Jessica on Fox News. You can see her at Bustle. You can read her latest op-ed in The Hill. She is everywhere. Always, always great to talk to you. We have got to take a quick break. Head on over to the Michael Knowles Show podcast at Apple Podcasts. You know, don't crash your car doing it, but I'd love it if you would subscribe. You can find me on Twitter at Michael J. Knowles. We'll be right back.
As an organ donor, your story doesn't have to end. The good in you can live on. In fact, you could save up to 8 lives and restore sight and health for many more. Sign up right now online as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. You'll be happy you did. And just maybe, someone else will be happy too. Go to organdonor.gov. It saves lives. U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt? Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs you qualify for free. Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If your idea of a big, bold summer is hanging out around the backyard barbecue, I've got a snack that will fit right in. Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rind. Yep, it's a bold-flavored snack that's more craveable than potato chips and the perfect low-carb alternative to breadcrumbs in your favorite recipe. You got to try the Korean kimchi barbecue, spicy dill, pasilla chili cheese, and blackberry habanero pork rinds. This summer, start your own flavor adventure by downloading our coupon and finding new recipes at porkrinds.com. That's porkrinds.com.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. They can help save lives by not having playdates. That's right. By replacing get-togethers with virtual playdates and video chats, they can help slow the evil spread of germs. And if your superheroes do go outside, make sure they continue their superhero wing by staying 6 feet away from others to protect everyone in America land. Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. I'm Michael Knowles filling in. You can find me on Twitter at Michael J. Knowles. You can find me at the Michael Knowles Show podcast on Apple Podcasts. And increasingly these days, you can find me despairing. I'm generally a sunny person. I generally think things are going to turn out fine, and I'm not too worried. But, you know, amid the plague and the riots and the tearing down of our statues and national monuments and the Supreme Court giving away half of Oklahoma, I don't know, it's kind of hard to look on the bright side these days, but hopefully, to give me a little bit of perspective here, we're now joined by Pete Hegseth, co-host of Fox and Friends Weekend and Fox News senior political analyst, also decorated war veteran. He was the CEO for Concerned Veterans of America from 2012 to 2015. He's the author of the excellent new book, American Crusade, Our Fight to Stay Free. Pete, if anybody can make me feel better, I think it will be you. But I got to tell you, looking around at the burning cities and the kind of collapsing country, I'm not feeling great.
Michael, if you're looking to me for the bright side, you've reached the end of the dark side.
You've reached. I know.
It really is. It's hard. It's hard. But that is, it's precisely what the left wants, is for us to be dispirited about the state of our nation, its history, its heritage, who we are, what we represent, the spirit of 1776. I mean, their entire goal is to have us call into question the veracity of the core truths we know and have defended our entire life. And so in some ways, yes, it's more difficult than ever because of the level of, you know, the cultural Marxism, call it what you want, what the left is doing today in all quarters. But it's also easier because we're defending the basics, and you know, anyone can stand up and say, hey, I think the flag is worthy of respect, or hey, I think we should support the police. Or so the arguments have gotten so stupid, they've become so simple, that they're easier for us to defend and educate our friends and neighbors on, you know, why the left is on the wrong side of the issue.
That's actually a great point. That is a real silver lining here. You know, when the left becomes so extreme, then all we have to do is defend, say, George Washington. You know, I was on one of these Young America's Foundation speaking tours last year, and I decided it would be kind of funny to make all of the speeches just really basic things. So it was like men are not women, or babies are people. And one of them was defending George Washington at George Washington University. And I didn't realize it would happen this quickly, but the left is now putting themselves in the position of attacking George Washington. It seems like we should be in the best position possible. We're defending some of the greatest people, the greatest institutions, greatest country in the history of the world. And I don't know, maybe it's just the media, maybe it's just the polls, but the problem is, it seems to me like the left might actually be winning.
I know. And what makes you even more depressed is that as we defend the basics, we learn more about how they've been completely abandoned and torn apart by our educational institutions. And I'm not just talking about the Ivy League. I'm talking about your local government high school or middle school. We're doing a segment tomorrow on Fox and Friends about textbooks and how shocked people will be to see what, you know, kids are reading in high schools and middle schools. So the basics should be easy to defend until the basics have been completely abandoned. Then you're having to reteach kids the basics based on the fact that they believe America is already evil. That's what gets, you know, folks like me and you a bit dispirited in a moment like this. I also think it is going to have to force us to get way outside the box. I'm going to look my kids in the eye. They're 10 years away from making college decisions and say, I don't want you going. Yep. To Princeton. I don't want you. Don't go.
Right.
Like, I don't care what you do. Join the military. Don't go to school. Get a job. Go to Liberty University, whatever. There are options out there, but don't feed the beast. And feeding the beast is validating that they're somehow important. And I think we have to take it head on and headlong. It's our only chance. This is ultimately a cultural educational battle.
It's such a good point. And I think you're totally right on this because this, I guess, would be another silver lining here is as part of this crazy lockdown, which has been, I think, extraordinarily politicized. It is certainly the second lockdown has been a strongly political measure. It seems too coincidental that we're only a few months before this presidential campaign and they get to lock their incoherent candidate in his basement and not have to actually engage in a campaign. But one silver lining is that the universities are collapsing. I mean, we just saw Harvard, which is a place you know very well, is now going to go to online learning. Harvard has become a correspondence college. They are doing the same thing that the University of Phoenix is doing, but they're charging their full tuition. So University of Phoenix charges $9,000 a year. Harvard is still going to be charging almost $50,000 a year. Do you think there's a chance that we actually could see these once great, now hollowed out institutions finally collapse under the weight of their own absurdity?
I don't think we'll see them collapse. I think that they'll see their grip on the sort of monopoly grip on excellence or a stamp of approval end. I think too many options. The curtain's been pulled back. The cartel has been exposed. You don't need a degree from Harvard in order. I mean, if you want to live in certain erudite, you know, elite circles, you know, global, fine, go do that. Everyone knows who goes there now and why they go there.
Yep.
But I do think we're even seeing it in high schools. The increase in co-ops or homeschooling of parents that are just mortified about what their kids are learning. So there's a chance we could see that grip end. And that, Michael, is almost one of the only ways we win back our country. You don't do it at the ballot box. I mean, politics is a lagging indicator from culture.
Yep.
And so I hope to God Trump wins in November, but that won't solve the problem we're in right now.
This is the real fear, is everybody's talking about 3 months from now or 4 months from now. But what has become dispiriting is that it's not about the ballot box necessarily, not in the long run. It's not even about the colleges. It's, as you say, it goes all the way back to kindergarten. Now it goes back to pre-K. There's a public school in Brooklyn that is teaching people, teaching little toddlers, you know, pre-kindergartners, that men can be women and women can be men. That is a radicalized curriculum here. And, you know, it's not, I don't know, I didn't even go to preschool, but I certainly wouldn't have learned that, I don't think. I don't even think that was an idea at the time that I was there. And so you've got to go back a little bit further. It's funny when you look at the Harvard thing, that they're still charging $50,000 a year to do Zoom classes. What you realize is the primary product at a place like Harvard is not education, right? It's not, obviously not, because they've radically reduced the quality of the education, and yet the price tag remains the same. What you're really paying for is a network. What you're paying for is an entree beyond the gatekeepers of the sort of liberal establishment, you know, the consulting gigs and finance and the established government. I do see some fissures there, though. I do see, I think, 2016, Brexit, the Trump election. You know, we're seeing a revolt against that now. Do you think that the established elite will win, or do you think that the movement we saw in 2016 really will carry forward?
Oh, man, I hope and think so. Again, I don't mean to keep going back to education, but you can't do the same thing and expect different outcomes. So we can't allow another generation of Americans to be poisoned with the same perspective and then hope we can hang on yet again.
Yep.
So you've got to win the way Trump did win again in 2020, but you also have to go back to those institutions. I'm hopeful at one level. Listen, Michael, I went to Princeton and Harvard. I went to Harvard a decade ago. And why did I go to Harvard? You know why? I'm conservative, but I didn't yet get it.
Yeah.
I was still like, well, this is the validation. You know, go to the best school. Why not go?
Get the name brand.
Diploma. I mean,
it's top school.
I just did it. Yep. Yep. It was part of the rat race. And I think having woken up to that and other generations of people waking up to that, it stops having the validation it needs or requires. And then you have a group of free-thinking people that can go out and make their own decisions, start their own schools, their own accreditations. I mean, that's going to all have to happen.
Yep.
And that should be our front line.
That's very true. One of the great lasting accomplishments, I think, of the Trump administration is he exposed these established institutions, the mainstream
yes.
media, higher education. He exposed them for what they are. They don't have credibility anymore. They've shown us their cards. They've shown us their radicalism. And so people, I think you're right, are waking up to that. But the work is so long that the left has spent decades digging into that educational system, transforming people's views. Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, we're living in the America of the New York Times 1619 project based on the indefensible lie that America was founded to preserve slavery. You still like our chances of being able to turn that around?
I mean, no, I don't like our chances. That's why two-thirds of the outcomes in my book are actually bad.
That's right.
Because this is up for discussion and debate. I mean, we're actually a young country, but as republics go, we're in the sweet spot for implosion.
Yep.
Because you start to become self-loathing and forget what you actually stood for, and then you give it all away.
Pete, as always, you have shed some clarity here. You've shown us there's no easy way out. We just got to fight. But isn't that what we're all here to do anyway? Thank you, 100%. Sir, for coming on as always.
Thank you, brother. Pleasure's always mine.
All right. Talk to you later. It did make me feel better in a certain way. At least it made me feel ready to go out there and fight. And maybe it made you feel that way, too. We got to go. I'm Michael Knowles filling in for the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
That's Jennifer King reporting. Once a church, then a mosque, and then a museum, an Istanbul religious landmark's been declared open for Muslim worship just hours after a high court annulled a 1934 decision that had made it a museum.
Hagia Sophia was built by the Eastern Roman Empire and was immediately hailed as one of the wonders of civilization, known for its sublime Byzantine architecture and for being the largest cathedral in the world for the next 900 years. After Constantinople was sacked by the Ottomans in 1453, it became a mosque, and that's how it stood until the founder of the modern secular state of Turkey, Atatürk, made it into a museum. Decades later, the first Islamist leader of the Turkish Republic, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, is overseeing the building's reinstatement as a focal point for the Muslim world.
That is the BBC's Warren Bull reporting. Some pastors here in the U.S. ignoring a new California ban on singing or chanting in church to slow the spread of the coronavirus. The American Center of Law and Justice encouraging church leaders to defy the order and says it will sue the state. And U.S. Army officials say they'll begin an independent review of the command climate at Fort Hood following calls for a more thorough investigation into the killing of a soldier from the Texas base. News and analysis, townhall.com.
involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Stock market have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the impact of coronavirus and the upcoming election, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text the word money to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word money to 411-411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and better protect yourself from sudden downturns. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to stay or when to get out. Text money to 411-411 and we'll send you a link to our free demo. Text money to 411-411 so you can better protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point. Don't wait. Text the word money to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
Intense flooding in China has left at least 140 people dead or missing. We get to more from the BBC.
Four cities along China's Yangtze River have declared severe flood warnings. Nearly 300,000 people have been evacuated in the eastern provinces of Anhui and Jiangxi as homes have been destroyed, roads blocked, and many left without food or electricity. More heavy rain has been forecast in parts of China already hard hit by flooding, after rainfall levels last month were more than 13% higher than average. The seasonal floods first hit regions in southwest and central China in late June, displacing hundreds of thousands of people and damaging more than 10,000 homes.
A divided UN Security Council failed for a second time Friday to agree on extending humanitarian aid deliveries to Syria's mainly rebel-held northwest from Turkey as current UN mandate was ending. Breaking news at townhall.com. Electric startup Rivian raised another $2.5 billion in funding from accounts advised by investment firm T. Rowe Price.
The company has a contract with Amazon to build 100,000 electric delivery vans starting next year at its factory, a former Mitsubishi plant in Normal, Illinois. Rivian also is rolling out a pickup truck and an SUV for sale to consumers next year. The company said that investors in this round include Soros Fund Management, Coatu, Fidelity Management and Research, and Barron Capital Group. The company employs about 2,300 people. Keith Peters reporting.
The CEO of Hispanic food company Goya facing an uproar over his praise for President Trump. Some Latino families are purging their pantries of the products and scrambling to find alternatives. With few other well-known Hispanic food brands in the market, it's also unclear just how effective the boycott will be. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
As Shasta County gradually reopens for business, we can all do our part to stop the spread of COVID-19 by wearing a mask when in public. Cloth face coverings help reduce the spread of germs by preventing the release of droplets when someone speaks, coughs, or sneezes. Wash your face covering often, ideally after each use or at least daily. Wash with detergent and hot water and dry on a hot cycle. Here is Shasta County Health Officer Dr. Karen Ramstrom.
Remember, wearing a face covering is not a replacement for physical distancing, frequent hand washing, and staying home when sick. Your mask protects me, and my mask protects you. Together, we can stop the spread.
For more information, including how to make your own cloth face covering, go to ShastaReady.org.
And, of course, because this is the Chris Plant Show with me, Michael Pelka, sitting in for my friend Chris Plant, we will be having a new Woke Olympics winner today. There are nominations everywhere, and even some spectacular nominations, some nominations from surprising places. But there's also something that happened within the last hour that I would like to make you aware of and ask you to be a part of. Did you watch the president in the Rose Garden yesterday? Did you happen to tune in and catch our president in the Rose Garden yesterday? Had that event with the Latino groups and the order that he signed. He's trying to help people get back to work. Donald Trump is all about helping everybody get back to work, and yesterday was no exception. And so Donald Trump invited some of the people that he has on his task force that are going to help work with Latino communities and increase jobs. And one such person was the CEO of Goya Foods, whose last name I'm not sure how I'm going to pronounce it, so I'm just going to call him the CEO of Goya Foods. And he stood up and briefly made a couple of remarks about the company. It's a fine company. I happen to use their products. I'm not an endorsed spokesperson, but I am a consumer of Goya fine products. And he said this about our president.
We're all truly blessed at the same time to have a leader like President Trump, who is a builder.
So he said we are truly blessed to have a leader like President Trump. And the offendinista class lost their ever-loving minds. The crazy people on the far left literally lost their minds yesterday when that happened. And they started a move to cancel Goya Foods. Cancel culture people, the offendinistas, as I like to call them, got their dogs out, and they are trying to cancel Goya Foods. They're calling for a boycott of Goya. AOC even jumped in on the fun. And others in the Latino Congress group. And so we now have calls for Goya to go away that have been echoed by AOC and by Julian Castro. And I'm sorry, but this is not how we do it. And the amazing thing here is these people don't remember Chick-fil-A. Remember when they wanted to cancel Chick-fil-A? And all of these guys called for the boycott of Chick-fil-A. And guess what happened? There were boycotts. People were going out and pushing boycotts to say, get out there and buy Chick-fil-A and get you some of those delicious waffle fries and that chicken sandwich, which is just too good. And Chick-fil-A had record sales thanks to these jackwagons. So on behalf of the Goya Foods people, who are doing a good thing. I think they authorized a huge donation to food banks yesterday during that event. I think the CEO announced that, if memory serves me correct. I posted on Twitter this morning a simple message saying, because my brother and I were talking about the ridiculousness of the offendinistas, and my brother said, hey, why don't we all go buy $10 worth of Goya Foods and bring it to the local food bank? Let's do another boycott, not a boycott. And I posted it on Twitter less than an hour ago, maybe just over an hour ago, and the thing caught fire. Now, how do I know it's caught fire? Well, usually when I post a tweet, it's good if it gets 2,000 impressions. And in the time that I've posted this, it's gotten 210,000 impressions. So if you follow me on Twitter, I ask you to also retweet it, post it out there. But more importantly, let's support our local food banks and a fine American company like Goya Foods. And I've already gotten a whole bunch of positive messages, overwhelmingly positive among the thousands of messages on this. And there are a handful of angry people who just can't handle the fact that Hillary Clinton is not the president of the United States. So if you have time today, maybe think about supporting a Goya and your local food bank all at the same time. just a simple request. Let's show the angry cancel culture offendinista class that the believers in capitalism are stronger than they are, because I do believe we outnumber them by great numbers. Anyway, a lot going on today. I want you to be a part of the conversation. We will get to Biden's speech because, gee, something familiar in Biden's speech yesterday. We will get to, as I said, the woke Olympics and the nominee for today. And there are some fine ones. And I'd love to hear from you. 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625 is the phone number. Oh, man, so many things to get to today. So much great audio today. The Secretary of Defense was talking about the situation with the Russian report. It's 2 weeks ago today the Times came out with that story. And then there's the story that I need to get some help understanding. And it is the ridiculous ongoing story of General Michael Flynn and how the government, not Donald Trump's government, but the courts, and under the Obama administration, General Flynn has been under attack. But to understand it, I need my friend Tracy Beans from Uncover DC. If you haven't been there, you should go there. Tracy Beans is going to help me make sense out of the ridiculous decision or proclamation that was made yesterday by the judge. Tracy Beans, welcome to the Chris Plant program. How are you?
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm fired up. I'm really fired up. I'm mad at the people who want to cancel Goya Beans. I have so many other things to get to. And then I see the story about the General Flynn case, and we expected this to go away months ago. The Attorney General has said that we're not going to prosecute the case. Why can't this judge let it go, and what the heck did he do yesterday?
It's just absurdity at this point. So after the decision came back, so Mike Flynn, General Flynn, petitioned the appeals court to stop Judge Sullivan from the shenanigans he was trying to pull by appointing a partisan friend of the court to argue why they should not drop the charges against him, and things that have never happened before in the court system in this country ever. They were granted that writ of mandamus to stop the court. It's basically an order from the appeals court that says to Judge Sullivan, you need to stop right now and do what the government has, you know, grant the government's request to revoke these charges and to not prosecute. And Judge Sullivan waited about 2 weeks and decided he was going to then go back to the appeals court and say, I don't agree with the decision of these three judges above me. I want the entire panel of judges to now decide on this. And it's interesting for a lot of different reasons. Number one, you know, if the appeals court felt that strongly that those three judges on their court had made a bad decision, they would have taken it up on their own, and they would have said, you know what, we can't allow this. It's unprecedented. We don't like it. Let's hear it on our own. On bank is what they call it, the bank of the court. But they didn't do that. And if that order went – so the order from the appeals court goes into the Sullivan case, which is the original case that General Flynn was being charged under. And then if he doesn't answer that or do what he's supposed to do in 21 days, then that is an automatic decision. So he waits till 7 days before, and he decides that he's going to now petition the court himself and ask them to pick it up on review of the entire panel. Legal people out there have said that they don't think that there's any way that this appeals court will do it, because if there were enough votes for them to do it themselves, they would have done it already. So it's like kind of like the last shot across the bow, and their argument is ridiculous. Their argument is that the response telling Judge Sullivan to do what he's supposed to do was weighed in favor of the government, the harm that would come against the government if the government was forced to reveal their investigatory steps, et cetera, so on and so forth. But the government wasn't the one who entered the writ of mandamus and only joined it later. So therefore, it shouldn't even have been, you know, decided that way, because the arguments that the judges wrote in defense of their position were for the government, and the government wasn't a, quote, party.
So
it's just crazy.
It is crazy, and it's as if the worker is telling the bosses how to run the company, And the bosses say, no, we disagree, and they just keep firing back at you, keep saying, no, we want you to do it this way. At what point do we get to some sort of malpractice against Emmett Sullivan, this judge who's just gone rogue totally on this? And at what point does somebody say the taxpayers shouldn't have to pay for this?
Yeah, we're getting there, but we're very close to that point now. So if the appeals court decides to deny that petition, it's over. There's no more steps that Judge Sullivan can take, and he must listen to the higher court and just, you know, get this show over with. It's going to end that way either way. At this point, I don't know any defendant who would ever want their case in front of this judge ever again. I can guarantee you there are going to be argument after argument when he's assigned cases in criminal matters now where defendants are like, no, 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 get me out of here. This guy is obviously biased towards defendants to begin with. Look what he did to General Flynn.
And I know you're not an attorney, Tracy Beans, but you do understand all this stuff better than I do and better than a lot of attorneys I know. But at the end of the day, when this is all done and General Flynn is back to being Citizen General Flynn, not under attack by the legal system in this country, does he have any recourse? Can he sue the government for malicious prosecution in this?
Well, yes, he may actually have a very strong case there, and the government right now is helping him to make it. There is more information that has been given to Sidney Powell in discovery, more information that U.S. Attorney Jensen has found in his review of the case that is exculpatory towards General Flynn that has been now provided to Sidney Powell. And we haven't seen that evidence yet, but it includes notes by Peter Strzok, notes by acting Attorney General at the time, Dana Bonte. And so we're interested, and Trish Guhar, who is another high-level DOJ player in all this, we're interested to see what those say. And as the time goes on, the DOJ just keeps on adding discovery in this case. So the longer it takes, the more we'll learn. And I'm just trying to figure out what that strategy is right now from the DOJ.
This is insane. So it looks like no matter what, General Flynn will be cleared of all of this insanity, and it will go away. What's the timetable?
Well, it depends on how long it takes for the other court to answer the petition and see what they're going to do. I don't know. It could be 2 weeks. I don't know. It could be 7 days. I'm not sure if they don't answer before that other order is on the docket, what that means, or if it stops the clock on that. I'm not sure.
Just craziness. And thank you for helping us understand it. Her name is Tracy Beans. You can find her at uncoverdc.com. I appreciate you, my friend.
I appreciate you, too. And definitely support Goya. There are so few companies willing to stand up and be brave.
I use their jasmine rice, and I put a little bit of that coconut, that real dense coconut mix in the mix, and you get like a coconut jasmine rice that is smack your mama good. And I'm not advocating domestic violence. It's just an old colloquialism. So try that.
We use them here in our house, too. So they're great products.
Well, good. I'm glad you're on board with my boycott. And donate to the food banks, people, if you can. Thank you, Tracy Beans.
Have a good one.
Thank you. There she goes. A lot of fun and a lot of great information from my buddy Tracy Beans. Check her out at uncoverdc.com. We have many things to get to. Joseph Robinette Biden and his speech yesterday that I was listening to and saying, boy, this sounds familiar. This sounds really familiar. We'll get into it. And we'll also share the Woke Olympics nominees today. If you have one, join me. 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625. Mike Opelka in for Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Whether you're working from home or working on your fitness, you want what you're listening to be what you're listening to, not what your roommates or your family are listening to. Now's the perfect time to get a pair of premium wireless earbuds, and Raycon is the way to go. Raycon start at about half the price of other premium brands on the market, and they sound just as amazing. And Raycon's everyday E25 earbuds are their best model yet. You get 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, a more compact design that gives you a comfortable noise-isolating fit, perfect for conference calls, video chats, or binge listening to your favorite radio talk show host. Raycon was founded by Ray J, and celebrities like Cardi B and J.R. Smith have already given Raycons their seal of approval. Now it's your turn to see what all the hype is about. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/plant. That's buyraycon.com/plant for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. Buyraycon.com/plant.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents and Doug.
Breathe out and repeat after me. Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Your bird is eating my candles.
Your bird is eating my candles.
No, seriously, he's making a mess.
No, seriously.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Get a customized quote at libertymutual.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
It may not be stomach issues.
For me, it's intense gas, or pain, or diarrhea, sometimes all at once, over and over.
I spent years with the symptoms, but could never figure it out.
No matter what I did, they never went away. So I decided to break it down for my doctor and get really specific about my symptoms.
We discovered that exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, may be the reason for my stomach issues.
EPI is caused by my pancreas. It leads to diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools. The symptoms just don't go away.
But EPI can show up with even one symptom.
The good news? EPI is manageable.
But to get to the right diagnosis, you have to break it down for your doctor and get specific about the severity of your symptoms.
Visit identifyepi.com to learn more and use the symptom checker to help change the conversation with your doctor. Brought to you by AbbVie.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
If your idea of a big, bold summer is hanging out around the backyard barbecue, I've got a snack that will fit right in. Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds. Yep, it's a bold-flavored snack that's more craveable than potato chips and the perfect low-carb alternative to breadcrumbs in your favorite recipe. You gotta try the Korean Kimchi Barbecue, Spicy Dill, Pasilla Chili Cheese, and Blackberry Habanero Pork Rinds. This summer, start your own flavor adventure by downloading our coupon and finding new recipes at porkrinds.com. That's porkrinds.com.
Yes, it's the Chris Plant Show with me, Mike Opelka, sitting in for my friend Chris Plant one more day. Chris will be back on Monday, and I'm sure tanned, rested, and ready. We are taking on as much of the news as we can today. I opened up with the report that the cancel culture has Goya Foods in its crosshairs today. And they want Goya Foods canceled. They want to boycott it. Why? Because the CEO was at the White House yesterday, and he actually praised Donald Trump. So I'm telling everybody, go spend 10 bucks at Goya, 5 bucks at your supermarket on Goya, and bring a bag of rice or beans or whatever to the local food bank, because they all need it, your church food bank, whatever. Just help, and let's fight back with a boycott, not a boycott. And some of you are already responding on line one. From Texas, Angel, or is it Angel? Welcome to the Chris Plant Show.
It's Angel, Mike. I wanted to just let you know that I'm a longtime listener, and I appreciate the week that you've given us.
Thank you.
You've done a great job. And also, I'm Hispanic, and we Hispanics, we use Goya all the time. We don't cook without Goya. So, hooray for the CEO, and we'll be buying Goya products all day long.
I love that. I love that, Angel. What part of Texas are you in?
I'm in San Antonio.
I'm a proud graduate of Trinity University, sir. You're in a great city. So enjoy
Thanks.
It, and thank you for being a fan of the Chris Plant Show, and I appreciate the props that you gave me on the week, because it's been a great week, a lot of work, but this audience helps out. So thank you. I appreciate your support. There he goes, a proud Texan, a proud Hispanic who is happy to support Goya. I got a feeling this Goya way, as they're calling it, they thought they were very clever with their little hashtag. The hashtag says Goya way. Goya way. Goya way, people. Goya way. I think it's going to fall flat on its face, and they're going to wake up walking down the road, kicking rocks, asking themselves, what the heck happened? Now, speaking of what the heck happened, and somebody who says it all the time, Joe Biden yesterday giving a speech. Joe Biden yesterday in near Scranton, near where he was born, said this.
When the federal government spends taxpayers' money, we should use it to buy American products and support American jobs. During my first term alone, we'll invest $400 billion in purchasing products and materials our country needs to modernize our infrastructure.
Now that sounds familiar.
The federal government spends...
It sounds very familiar. I'll explain why it sounds familiar next on the Chris Plant Show.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palos Cedro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Don't distance yourself from your goals. At Shasta College, you can earn transfer-ready credits from the comfort of your couch or get job-ready for that high-demand career with convenient, cost-effective classes that work for you. Register now for fall classes. The semester starts August 17th, and now is the perfect time to take control of your future. Visit our website at shastacollege.edu or call 242-7500. Start your tomorrow today at Shasta College.
Read, imagine, learn with Shasta Public Libraries. Summer Blast is live at the Shasta Public Libraries. Join in their free summer reading program for kids, tweens, teens, and adults. Going on all summer long. Help your kids avoid the summer slide and be a reading role model. Read to win prizes like books, gift cards, and a kid's kitchen playset and more. The more you read, the more chances to win. Let your imagination run wild. Read, imagine, learn with Shasta Public Libraries. Sign up online today at summerblast.fun.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their lives. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
You'll win, especially on your birthday. Watch for your free play coupon in the mail. Didn't get your birthday gift? Come on in to Wind River Resort and Casino on your birthday and collect your free play. Or if you have birthday coupons from other casinos, bring them in and we'll match up to $100 in free play. To sweeten the deal, you'll also receive triple points on your special day. Only one birthday gift or free play redeemed per year. Slot play limited to $100. Details at windriver.com.
The time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Welcome to the Chris Plant Show. Mike Opelka sitting in for my buddy Chris Plant one more day. A lot to get to today. I hope we'll get a preview of the Trump rally scheduled for New Hampshire tomorrow. I'm hoping, I'm thinking, I thought we had a call scheduled for later in the program. We shall see somebody from the inside to tell us what the heck is going to go on. There are also some updates out there regarding the convention. Yesterday we talked to Paris Denard about the GOP convention, the end of August, and currently slated for the last week. There's like 3 days. It's going to be 4 or 5, and it's been cut back. And I got an email yesterday about the arrangements for media, and it may be a little different than previous conventions I've attended. There may be fewer opportunities right on the convention floor, and you can understand that. Yesterday, Mitch McConnell got kind of hinky, if I can use that term in reference to Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, and kind of hinted that it's still up in the air. And then there's a report out today that says the convention's still rolling, but it may end up outdoors, which would be a real change of things. The indoor convention's very, very different than would be an outdoor convention. So we shall see. Jacksonville being sued by some attorneys trying to block the entire thing because, you know, they hate us because they ain't us, as they say. You want to join the conversation today, 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. I thought we'd have some fun with Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. Joe Biden, the presumptive, you have to say that now, you have to say presumptive nominee for the Democratic slot in the upcoming election. And Biden traveled the longest, the farthest he's traveled for campaign since the lockdown. He traveled all the way to just outside of Scranton, Pennsylvania, where he was born. And he was trying to get those lunch bucket Joe Bonafides supported yesterday by hanging with the peeps in a small event where he gave a speech that was meant to give us an insight to Joe Biden's take on the economy and how he was going to handle the country. And as I was listening to it, my spidey senses went off. I go, I've heard this before. I've heard this before. And this is the particular part that caught my ear. Hang on a second. Joe, you want to tell us what you're going to tell us?
When the federal government spends taxpayers' money, we should use it to buy American products and support American jobs.
Now, I'm not the only one who heard that and said, hang on a second, we've heard that before. Our friends over at Fox News heard that too, and their spidey senses went all a-tingling, and they put together a little montage to highlight exactly what we're talking about.
When the federal government spends taxpayers' money, we should use it to buy American products and support American jobs.
In my administration, we live by two simple rules: buy American and hire American. Buy American and hire American. Buy American and hire American.
It's flat out lifting, plagiarizing President Trump. Joe Biden in the speech yesterday took the core of the Make America Great movement and lifted it. And he talked about the need to bring manufacturing jobs back to this country. And this is interesting to me because remember when Donald Trump said he was going to bring manufacturing back to America and Barack Obama said, and we should find that clip, Jeffrey or Victoria, maybe you can find it, that clip where Obama goes, what, has he got a magic wand or something? Those jobs aren't coming back. And then the Trump tax cuts, especially the cuts for companies, started bringing companies and jobs back to America. And then we removed a giant chunk of the penalty to repatriate those profits back to America. And we started seeing not only jobs, but profits and factories coming back to America. And just 6 short months ago, we were at, what, 3.7% unemployment. And so Donald Trump got elected partially on his pledge to bring American manufacturing back, which he has done. And now Joe Biden's out there telling people we need to bring American manufacturing back. Yeah, we're already doing that, Joe. And then he's saying we need to buy American and hire American. And Donald Trump has been saying that for 4 years. Maybe that's where you got the idea. But this is not the first time Joseph Robinette Biden has done this. This guy has a history with plagiarism. This guy has a history of stealing the ideas from other people and basically claiming them for himself. Let's dial it back. Let's jump into the old Chris Plant Show time machine and go back to the 80s when Joe Biden was running for president and he got caught using somebody else's words. Joe? Oh, no, this is actually CBS. Connie Chung.
Democratic presidential candidate Joseph Biden today faces a controversy. 3 weeks ago at a debate at the Iowa State Fair, he used phrases identical to those delivered by British Labour Party leader Neil Kinnock.
Not just close, but identical to a British Labour leader. Identical. And as Biden was walking up on stage to give his presentation, he thought, I know. I'll tell them I thought of this in the car on the way over here. But let's do a little A-B comparison.
Why is it that my wife is sitting out there in the audience is the first in her family to ever go to college?
So he talks about his wife who's sitting out the audience, the first in her family to go to college, right? Well, so did the British Labour leader.
Why is Gladys the first woman in her family in 1,000 generations to be able to get the university?
Oh, that's just got to be an isolated incident, though, right?
My ancestors who worked in the coal mines in northeast Pennsylvania and would come up after 12 hours and play football.
So his ancestors would work in the coal mines and then come up and play football, just like the labor leader from England.
8 hours underground and then come up and play football.
It's amazing, but these are probably just two examples, right?
It's because they didn't have a platform upon which to stand.
Really?
There was no platform upon which they could stand.
It was a direct theft. Direct theft.
The notion that every thought or notion or idea you'd have to go back and find and attribute to someone, I think is, quite frankly, ludicrous.
So Joe Biden thought it was ludicrous that he should have to credit someone for actually stealing their idea, for taking their idea. Ludicrous, he thought, for plagiarizing.
The problem here is that Senator Biden told his audience he'd just been thinking about these things, and he failed to give any credit at all to his famous British speechwriter.
You know what's amazing is that the media actually went after Biden on this. You wouldn't see that today. No one in the mainstream media outside of those on the conservative side of things is calling out Biden for this. We're making sure everybody knows that he's basically lifting Donald Trump's speech. But, you know, Biden, it's probably just the rarest of rare things.
I should have said, to paraphrase Neil Kinnock, it's the only time I didn't in all the times I've ever used it.
The only time. He only did it that one time, right? It's like the criminal who got caught for the first time.
But CBS News found a tape of a second instance.
Uh-oh. And they probably gave up looking after that.
It reappeared in the New York Times with a new charge, that Biden had appropriated a famous litany from the late Robert Kennedy about what the gross national product cannot measure.
Now, this is interesting. To steal from a British labor leader is one thing, but to go after a standard bearer of your party who's not around, who happens to be deceased, and steal from them is absolutely, absolutely insane. So let's go back and forth with Joe Biden and Robert Kennedy Jr., Robert Kennedy, who's passed away at this point. Robert Kennedy no longer with us, but Joe Biden giving a speech explaining what the gross national product can't measure.
It cannot measure the health of our children.
The health of our children.
The quality of our education.
the quality of their education,
the joy of their play,
or the joy of their play.
Biden gave Kennedy no credit. He has also quoted or paraphrased John Kennedy, Hubert Humphrey, and British Labour Party leader Neil Kinnock, all without credit.
Just amazing, isn't it? And now he's doing it again. And the mainstream media will likely give him a free pass. The left side of the mainstream media is likely to give Biden a pass as he is ultimately lifting what Donald Trump has said. Buy American, hire American. Bring American manufacturing back here. Well, here's the problem with Biden. The real problem with Biden is execution, because he's been there in D.C. for almost 50 years, and he really doesn't understand how business gets done. He only has the Democratic playbook where you pull it out and it says, oh, we have to say we must raise taxes on those evil Wall Street people. Which is what he did yesterday. He went after Wall Street and tried to say he was the guy who sat around the kitchen table with his uncles and his grandfathers and was told that you are not the money you make, that a job is not what defines you. And those are all good things that everybody should teach to their kids and their nieces and nephews and their grandkids. But Biden doesn't understand. He's planning on raising the corporate taxes the minute he gets in, which will not only kill the manufacturing revival that Donald Trump has brought to us, but it will drive those jobs back overseas. Because all those countries where those jobs were lost, all those countries are like, wait a minute, you're going back to America? Do you know about the tax rates? And we went, yeah, they've gone down. They're not the highest in the world anymore, or second highest to be specific. So Biden is resorting to stealing again, but he doesn't have the skills. The Democrats don't have the playbook to make it happen. And really, his only response...
Ladies and gentlemen, I've been dumb.
Yeah, we know that, Joe. We're very well aware.
I've done some dumb things, and I'll do dumb things again.
We're going to count on that, and yesterday was proof. 2.5 hours away from the BBN, the Biden Basement Network, you were incapable of really delivering an original idea when it comes to business. And really, what that was about yesterday, aside from the attacks on Donald Trump and the pandemic, which is easy prey, because they can go after Donald Trump and the response on the pandemic, because nobody knows anything about a brand new disease. But when it comes to handling the economy, in virtually every poll, President Trump is still kicking Joe Biden's butt and will forever, because Biden just doesn't get it. He can say buy American and hire American all he wants, but we've been there, we've done that, and we got the T-shirt and the unemployment down to a manageable area at 3.7%, and we'll do it again. All right, I'm stepping aside. You want to join the conversation? You want to have a little fun on a Friday? Do you have a nominee for the Woke Olympics Award? I'll tell you about one, because I have one. And I think it's a fabulous one. But you can share yours. 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625. Mike Opelka is my name, and this is the Chris Plant Show.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show. This is a paid advertisement for legal services sponsored by attorney Andrew Van Arsdale, San Diego, California.
If you were sexually abused as a member of the Boy Scouts, please listen up, as this message is for you. Hi, I'm attorney Andrew Van Arsdale, and my firm represents thousands of former scouts who have had the courage to take a stand and demand the Boy Scouts of America be held accountable for the horrific acts of sexual abuse which occurred under their watch. As many of you know, for decades, the Boy Scouts admitted numerous child molesters into their organization. There is simply no excuse for allowing this to happen, and although it's long overdue, we finally have a chance at justice. The Boy Scouts of America have filed for bankruptcy, which means you must come forward to file a claim before November 16th, or you may lose your right to hold them accountable forever.
Do not hold on to the secret any longer. Call Abuse and Scouting right now for a free confidential consultation.
Call right now.
800-840-5581. 800-840-5581. 800-840-5581. That's 800-840-5581.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your dentist to actually believe you?
And you're flossing every day.
Absolutely.
Great. And you're cutting down on your sweets?
Of course.
Wonderful. Then I don't even need to look in there.
Great. See you in 6 months.
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
Save on summer favorites at Kohl's. This Thursday through Sunday, take an extra 20% off. Find swimwear for the family $16 and under. Tops for the family are just $12 and under. And get up to 40% off patio furniture and decor. Plus, get Kohl's cash. Plus, limited contact store drive up. Shop Kohl's and Kohl's.com.
Offers valid July 9th through July 12th. 20% off with promo code July Savings. Select styles. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
In January of 2017, I was diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia.
And within 24 hours of that diagnosis, we found ourselves here in Memphis at St. Jude. They knew what they were doing. They knew how they were going to treat her. They laid out this elaborate plan.
We didn't know what the future was or if there even was a future. But with St. Jude, there was.
Not that long ago, the survival rate was 4%. 4%. But through the work and research that St. Jude does, that's now 94%. And you know how that got done? It's through donations. By people getting behind this mission that no child dies in the dawn of life.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If your idea of a big, bold summer is hanging out around the backyard barbecue, I've got a snack that will fit right in. Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds. Yep, it's a bold-flavored snack that's more craveable than potato chips and the perfect low-carb alternative to breadcrumbs in your favorite recipe. You gotta try the Korean kimchi barbecue, spicy dill, pasilla chili cheese, and blackberry habanero pork rinds. This summer, start your own flavor adventure by downloading our coupon and finding new recipes at porkrinds.com. That's porkrinds.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
Welcome back to the Chris Plant Show. Mike Opelka with you on a Friday, even though it's a gloomy Friday here with a lot of rain in our area. It's a Friday, and we have to celebrate that. And we are going to celebrate with things like the Woke Olympics Award, which will be coming up. You can nominate a person, a group, for being exceptionally woke, and we will mock them and deride them. Yes, that's what we do. with the woke Olympics because you're stupid and you're silly, and we have to make fun of you. I have to tell you, I thought Ben Stiller would be a candidate, but I'm going to have good news that it looks like Ben Stiller will not be a candidate. I'll explain why shortly. But one of the greatest American companies ever to exist looks like it might be a candidate for today's Woke Olympics. You can nominate somebody at 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. We're talking about Joe Biden and how he had ripped off Donald Trump, and I mentioned the famous 2016 speech, or I think it was a town hall, that Barack Obama was holding, and he was taking questions, and I think it was a steel worker who asked him about then-candidate Trump's plans to bring back all these manufacturing jobs, or as people in the media like to say, even Biden says this, manufacturing. Why can't we say manufacturing correctly? Are we just lazy? Sidebar. Total ADD Friday sidebar. Manufacturing jobs. Anyway, the gifted and talented Victoria has found said clip. And without further delay, I think we should hear Barack Obama deriding the now President Trump, then candidate Trump, over his pledge to bring back manufacturing jobs.
For those folks who've lost their job right now because a plant went down to Mexico, you know, that isn't going to make you feel better. And so what we have to do is to make sure that folks are trained for the jobs that are coming in now, because some of those jobs of the past are just not going to come back. And when somebody says, like the person you just mentioned, who I'm not going to advertise for, that he's going to bring all these jobs back. Well, how exactly are you going to do that? What are you going to do? There's no answer to it. He just says, well, I'm going to negotiate a better deal. Well, how exactly are you going to negotiate that? What magic wand do you have? And usually the answer is he doesn't have an answer.
Well, he did have an answer, and he did a couple of things, including lowering the tax rate and negotiating a better deal as relates to NAFTA, which will guarantee a lot of those jobs won't go out of the country again. So, yeah, we have the plan. We've been there. We've done that. We got the T-shirt, and we'll get a new one when we get this economy back on its feet again. By the way, phone lines are open and rolling. Steve is calling from Middleburg, Virginia. Steve, welcome to the Chris Plant Show.
How's it going, Mike? I can see why Chris likes you.
Thank you, sir. That's high praise. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Anyway, yeah, I've talked to him before. Anyway, I just want to let you know I just got the phone with Gloria. Okay, and I told Victoria that, you know, I've patronized businesses that advertise on MAO, and I tell them why I'm there, you know, to let them know that their advertising is working, and it supports you guys too. But anyway, I called to give them, you know, some encouragement, and you know, not many things make me angry these days, you know, but fascism kind of sets me off. And so I took the extra step and called them, gave them some encouragement. I also, in the past, I did some, like, you know, targeted marketing, you know, to certain specific markets, and I encourage them to put out lots of recipes for people so that when they buy their products, they know what to do with them.
That's great. We got a time wall, Steve. I appreciate you calling Goya. We have much more to get to, so much more to get to today. Join us on the Chris Plant Show, 888-630-9625.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.